Matthew Secretary is here to join us today. Our content advisor, our researcher, our assistant.
Recording in progress.
And the secretary in the office of the chairperson. Those that are coming from the department coming to watch this, our parliamentary legal services, the office of the chief state law advisor, the parliamentary legal services of the department. Good morning to you all, this beautiful morning in Cape Town. It's really spring today. Honorable members, today we are almost done with our bill. We will be dealing with clause by clause, looking at the culmination of many months of what the people of South Africa responded when this bill was put there for them to comment through written submissions, through oral presentations, through public hearings that we held in all the 9 provinces. This is also the culmination of the debate that we have had as this committee, putting forward our perspectives, views coming from the different political parties that are in this portfolio committee. This is the culmination of what we have been advised by the legal services, of what we have also argued and debated as the members of this portfolio committee. A culmination of all that hard work, which I am not even afraid to say this. You did so well, honorable members, in a manner that is not insulting, that is not humiliating anyone, but you ensure that you put in your views in a proper, constructive way. We also appreciate the work done by the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor, the legal services of the department, and the legal services of the parliament, in also ensuring that whatever that we deal with, they would advise us properly. In the last few weeks, we had then received an A-list bill that the legal services have come up with after looking at all that we have debated, and they informed us that they will be bringing in the bill list today. It has also gone another scrutiny, and we are here to look at it clause by clause. But honorable members, I want to say this up front. Today, we're not going to again try to put in our views as we have done deliberately so in the previous meetings. Today, we're going to look in at what we agreed upon. There may be disagreements, of course, because we're coming from different political parties. We have different views and perspectives on this matter. But those deliberations will be done now properly when the bill is before the parliament. Our work for us today is to look at what we have tried to come up with the advice from the legal services and what we'll be looking at today. But that doesn't close the door of anyone who feels that it doesn't reflect what he or she believes in. As you all know, that even when we are in, when a bill is presented before the parliament, the minority view is also presented, and then the parliament will debate on this. I want to welcome you all with those few words encouraging that we continue on the way of doing things, that whatever that we present it in a constructive manner, no insults, no humiliating one another, as we have previously done so, in a manner that is befitting the decorum of the house that we are all members of. You are all welcome, the viewers at home that are part of us today to watch this meeting, you are all welcome. Ms. Martinez, do we have any apologies that we have now? Do we have any apologies?
Thank you, Chair. The only apology I have is that of Honorable Van Staden. He won't be able to make it today because he's attending a meeting of the Portfolio Committee on Health. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable, okay, we then invite our legal services to present to us the bill list
greetings, Chairperson, and the members at large. I hope I'm audible. Chairperson, I did not prepare on my side the document because I was thinking maybe the committee assistants will help us. But Chairperson, if they can maybe light up the fee bill version that is the last done as the final version so that I can talk through it.
Okay, we do have that B version. Ms. Martinez, can you assist?
I'm on it, Chair. I'm trying to just open the file quickly.
Thank you, Chairperson. What I'm going to do, Chairperson, in this respect, I will only be going through the B bill version, which is the bill that has incorporated all the proposals that the committee has indicated we must effect. So we won't be looking at the A list, which was what we did on the previous meeting of the committee that basically set out what it is that was supposed to be taken out and taken in of this bill that is before the committee today. And this bill, as members can see, it is now called B23B of 2020. It is no longer B23 without the B, because that means the proposals of the committee, having listened to the public, have been taken on board and all the deliberations have been effected as per the legal standards and the lawfulness and constitutionality thereof. So, Chairperson, I will read clause one and then put a hold so that members can ask. In fact, sorry, Nola. Let's start with the preamble, the long title. So, Chairperson, before the members, it has been flighted the bill with its long title, and the long title will be reading as follows: to provide for the expropriation of property for a public purpose or in the public interest. To regulate the procedure for the expropriation of property for a public purpose or in the public interest, including payment of compensation. To identify certain instances where the provision of nil compensation may be just and equitable for expropriation in the public interest. To repeal the Expropriation Act 1975, which is Act Number 63 of 1975. And lastly, to provide for matters connected therewith. Chairperson, that would be the long title, trying to briefly summarize what the content of the bill is all about. And I put that before for the deliberation and approval by the members. Thank you, Chair. I'll pause there.
Honourable members, the title of the bill which is something that we deliberated upon it. Honorable Graham Murray, Honorable Hans Kalvik.
Honorable Chairperson, the Democratic Alliance does not support the long title. Thank you.
Honorable Hans Kalvik.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to Chairperson, honorable members, staff, and the legal advisors from the ANC side. Thank you.
Honorable Van Skalbeek, we have lost you.
And I beg, Chairperson.
You are fine now.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning. I, from the ANC side, we support the long title. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Van Skalwijk, Honorable Tring, Honorable Zondo.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, the ACDP does not support the long title. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Tring, Honorable Zondo. Honorable Mashele, thank you, Honorable Zondo. Honorable Mashele.
Thank you very much, Chair. The ANC support the long title. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Mashele. When we have this,
Chairperson, apologies. We did not get Honorable Zondo's input. Did he say he supports or not? Because
no.
He is the Chairperson.
Support it, doesn't support it. I don't know what. Honorable Graham Murray, is this an old hand or what?
No, Chairperson, it's a new hand. I just wanted to give clarity on the process. Does each member need to stipulate or is it
read by
the party?
No, we don't. You just say you don't support, you support.
Yes, but my question is will it be taken that if I say the Democratic Alliance does not support it, that it is given that both myself and Honourable Hicklin do not support it, or does each member of this committee have to specifically state whether or not they support or oppose any of the clauses?
Honourable Graham Murray, we will have to go because we will then. You are fine. You are fine saying that you don't support LDA, but we will then have to go to those that are in support and those that do not support, looking at the voting members in this committee, and then we will then go with that, saying that those that are saying yes, those that are saying no, and then we calculate. And then we continue. The debates, honorable members, we will now do that in Parliament. We have debated several times on this. We have put in our views. I think you all know, members of the political parties that we are representing were there in the public hearings. They were there in the submissions. They were there. Members of the public, all the formations that are there, they were there. So today, it's not about the debate. You just say you support or you don't support. If you want to support each other as members of that party, no problem. But when we deal with the issue of voting, we deal only with the voting parties in the voting members. Thank you. Honorable Siwisa?
Not in support, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Hickman?
Just a clarity seeking. What I'm also trying to find out, Chair, is do we all have to voice our support or lack of support, or is it enough that Honorable Graham Murray speaks on behalf of the Democratic Alliance?
No problem, Honorable Hickman. You may say, you may not say. You may say you support.
Okay, I am. The Democratic Alliance is not in support, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Honourable Members. As we all know, we have members of this portfolio committee. We will then have to say those that are in support, not to the parties this time, those that are in support of the bill, the title of the bill as it is, the long title as some would say, and those that are in support of the long title, can they please indicate? If you can't raise your hand, you can just say yes if your device cannot assist you in raising your hand. Can you please assist me, Nola and Shuaib, in also checking?
Yes, Chair, we've got checking.
I know some can't raise their hands here. If you can just even, if it is possible, just indicate if you can't. Okay, Matebula can't raise his hand. Okay, thank you. We want those that are in support. Jobo, Mashele, Shabalala, Van Salve, and myself, those that are in support. I also support the long title. Thank you. Those that are not in support of the long title, only the voting members, honorable members. Honorable Mashele, please lower your hand. Thank you. Siwisa, Graham, Mare, Hicklin, Zondo, Tring. Those that are not in support, there are five. Those that are supporting, there are six. So we continue with the long title. We go to clause one. Kume.
Thank you, Chairperson. We won't do the preamble because it basically captures Section 25 of the Constitution as well as Section 33 and 34, which are the rights to administration and the right to court. They bring the context that those rights are actually still applicable and promoted in this bill. So as Chairperson has pointed out, we will move straight to clause one, please. Keep going, ma'am, to clause one. We're not going to do the preamble. It captures the Constitution, Section 25. We will just move straight.
Checking for me. Are you not able to share it from your side? Because I'm getting a bit worried that we might miss each other while we're on it, because I gave you the sharing rights. Are you not able to share it from your side?
I had not opened it so that it's quick and easy. Maybe what we should do, let me just do clause one, and then when the members are deliberating, I'll open it and then we'll start from there. Thank you. Clause one is chapter one, which deals with the definitions and application of the Act. And for purposes of definitions, these are the definitions that we have defined. Number one, it reads, in this act, unless the context indicates otherwise, claimant means a person who has lodged a claim for compensation. Constitution means the Constitution of the Republic. Constitution means the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, 1996. The court means a division of the High Court or a court of similar status within those within whose area of jurisdiction A the immovable property in question is situated. B, the movable property in question is situated at the time the expropriating authority implements Section 5 or 20. Or C, the owner of the movable or intangible property in question resides or has its principal place of business. Deliver, in relation to any document, includes delivery by hand, post, registered post, and by electronic communication as defined in Section 1 of the Electronic Communication and Transactions Act 2002, which is Act Number 25 of 2002. Department, it means the department responsible for public works and infrastructure. If we can scroll down, ma'am. Scroll down, Nola. Department means the department responsible for public works and infrastructure. Director general means the director general of the department. Disputing party means an owner, mortgagee, holder of a right, including an owner and holder of a right contemplated in Section 20. Expropriated owner or expropriated holder who rejects the expropriating authority's offer of compensation. Expropriating authority means an organ of state or person empowered by this act or any other legislation to expropriate property or to bring about the compulsory acquisition of property contemplated in Section 2, subsection 3 for a public purpose or in the public interest. Expropriation means the compulsory acquisition of property for a public purpose or in the public interest by an expropriating authority or an organ of state upon request to an expropriating authority, and expropriate has a corresponding meaning. Holder of a right means the holder of an unregistered right in property, but excludes an unregistered owner. Land parcel means land that has been surveyed and is either registered or yet to be registered in a deeds registry. Master means the master of the High Court for the division with the necessary jurisdiction. Minister means the minister responsible for public works and infrastructure. Notice of expropriation means a notice contemplated in Section 8. Organ of state means an organ of state as defined in Section 239 of the Constitution. Owner means the owner of property at common law and where the ownership of the property or right in question must be registered. The person in whose name such property or right is registered. And subparagraph A, if the owner of any property or registered right in land is deceased, the owner will mean the executor of his or her estate. And if no executor has been appointed or his or her appointment has lapsed, it means the master. B, if the estate of the owner of any property or registered right in land has been sequestrated, it means the provisional or final trustee of his or her insolvent estate, as the case may be, or if no such appointment has been made, it means the master. C, if the owner of any land or registered right in property is a company that is being wound up, it means the provisional or final liquidator of that company, or if no such appointment has been made, it means the master. And indeed, if any property or registered right in property is vested in a liquidator or trustee, in terms of any other law, means that liquidator or trustee, if the owner of any property or registered right in property is otherwise under a legal disability, it means his or her representative by law. F, if any land or registered right in property has been attached in terms of an order of a court, it means the sheriff or deputy sheriff, as the case may be. In the case of a public place, road or street under the control of a municipality, it means that municipality. For the purposes of Section 5, it includes a lawful occupier of the land concerned, and in I, it includes any authorized representative of the owner who is ordinarily resident in the Republic. Possession includes the exercise of a right. Prescribed means prescribed by regulation. And property means property as contemplated in Section 25 of the Constitution. Public interest, it includes the nation's commitment to land reform and to reforms to bring about equitable access to all South African's natural resources in order to address the results of past racial discrimination laws or practices. Public purposes includes any purposes connected to the administration of any law by an organ of state, in terms of which the property concerned will be used by or for the benefit of the public. Registered means registered or recorded with a government office in which rights in respect of land, minerals, or any other property are registered or recorded for public record in terms of any law. Regulation means a regulation made in terms of Section 26. Service means service as contemplated in Section 22.1 and serve has a corresponding meaning. This Act includes any regulations made under this Act. Unregistered rights, it means a right in property recognized and protected by law, including customary law, which does not require registration and includes the right to occupy or use land. Valuer, it means a person who is suitably qualified to value particular property and includes a person registered as a professional valuer or professional associated valuer in terms of Section 19 of the Property Valuers Protection Act 2000, which is Act number 47 of 2000. Two, subsection A, subparagraph A, a Saturday, Sunday, or public holiday must not be reckoned as part of any period calculated in terms of this Act. 2B, the period 20 December to 7 January inclusive must not be reckoned as part of any period calculated in terms of this Act. That is clause 1, Chairperson, on the definitions. I put it before the members for deliberation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Kuma. Can you, while we're debating this clause one, not necessarily debating, sort out the issues that Nola raised with you aside. Honorable members, that is clause one of the bill. Honorable Graham Murray.
Sorry, Chair. I am in a place where we've just had load shedding, so I can't put my camera on. Chairperson, I just wanted to give clarity first. Do we oppose, if we only oppose certain of the definitions and not everything, do we oppose the entire definitions clause, or do we state the specific provisions that we oppose? I just need clarity for the purpose of going forward before I speak. Thank you.
You may indicate your within clause one, maybe paragraph 2B or subsection, as we all know how the acts are put in. You can indicate which apparently that you oppose in this clause.
Okay, thank you very much. Then I would like to stipulate that we oppose the definition of intangible property under clause subclause C. Again, I would like to reiterate that we disagree with the removal of counteroffer under the definition of disputing party. Under holder of a right, we oppose the fact that there is no registered right included in that definition. In terms of expropriation, we also feel that the curtailment of rights should have been incorporated, so we oppose that definition. It also does not include temporary expropriation under the definition, so that makes it a difficult clause to support. Okay. Yes.
Okay. Can I seek clarity before? Are we supposed to motivate why, or should you just say oppose? That's my understanding.
Thank you, Honorable Shabalala. I think I indicated that we can't debate, and I thought that Honorable Graham Murray would say, as much as we not in support of this, but it's only paragraph 2B, and then that one is fine.
Okay.
We apologize. Remember, Honorable Graham Murray, you put your debate and argued for this point previously, saying why you are arguing for this. That time now has come to an end. We will do that when we are debating this in Parliament. For now, you say you support or you don't support, or you don't support this clause because it has subsections. Subsection 2, and then we pass on, please,
Honorable Members. Thank you, Chair. Honorable Samantha.
Oh, okay, because your device cannot show your hand. Okay, thank you. Please, Honorable. Please continue, Honorable.
Okay, thank you. Chair, we do not support the definition of public purpose, and we do not support the definition of valuer. So those are the sections in the definitions that we do not support, which means we cannot support the entire clause. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Njobo. Honorable Higlin, Honorable Matebula, Honorable Zondo, Honorable Siwisa.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to members. On behalf of ANC, we support. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Njobo. Honorable Higlin.
Thank you so much, Chair. We do not support the definition of intangible property, disputing party, holder of rights, expropriation has a corresponding meaning and public purpose and valuer. Thank you so much, Chair.
Honorable Hicklin, Honorable Matebula. Honorable Matebula.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm actually moving with what the whip of the committee has said, that we are in support of the clause as it is, without any amendment or changes. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Siwisa, Honorable Zondo, Honorable Tring.
Not in support, Chair, thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Zondo?
Right here, we don't support the expropriation authority definition, but we are in support of the definition.
Thank you. Honorable Tree?
Thank you, Chair. The ACDP does not support. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Trink. As Honorable Members, you have seen that support, some do not support. So for us to get a view that we will say it is the majority view, we will then say those that do not support, first those that do not support, can we indicate those that don't support the bill? It's Honorable Tring, Honorable Siwisa, Honorable
Chair, point of clarity before that.
Yes.
In an event where people do not support a subsection in that law, how do we deal with it? Because it will not be proper to say those that are not in support, but the issue is just on a subsection on that law. How do we deal with that? Because like I heard the DA, it's only concerned on a subsection, not necessarily the law. And I'm not speaking on their behalf, I'm just saying generally, how do we deal with an issue where...
If you had it clearly, they said that because they don't support a certain bill, then they start a certain paragraph, then as such, they do not. I think Honorable Hicklin, when she was closing, she said so. They necessarily don't support that. But their views of why they don't support this, they will present that in the debate in Parliament. So now it's whether you support or you don't support. I think Honorable Shabalala has just tried to indicate to them, it's either you support or you don't. So we must not go to the issue that you don't support because of this. Those that are not supporting this in terms of, I don't want to say I can say the parties, but that would indicate as if the number, what is crucial is the number. So it's Honorable Tree, Honorable Simisa, Honorable Graham Murray, Honorable Zondo, Honorable Hicklin. They are five. Those that do not support. And then those that support, thank you, Honorable Members, for your hands. Then we need those that support the clause number one. We have Honorable Shabalala, Honorable Fanskalvey, Honorable Mashele, those that cannot show their hands, can they then
raise
Honorable Jobo and Honorable Matebula indicated earlier in, and myself. We are six, those that are in support. We go to clause number two. Remember, Honorable Members, we had read this, it was with us, we were given this document, we have debated on this. This meeting could be one of the shortest meetings, but again, it can be one of the longest meetings if we're going to open up the debate again. Can we go to clause number three? Kumelele, I hope that our team is noting each clause that we say we support in preparation for the report that we are going to deliberate, in fact, adopt as the committee next week, Wednesday.
Thank you, Chairperson. We are now on clause two, application of Act. Clause 2, subsection 1, despite the provisions of any law to the contrary, an expropriating authority may not expropriate property or cause it to be acquired under subsection 3 arbitrarily or for a purpose other than a public purpose or in the public interest. Subsection 2, subject to section 20, a power to expropriate property may not be exercised unless the expropriating authority has, without success, attempted to reach an agreement with the owner or holder of a right in property for the acquisition thereof on reasonable terms. Subsection 3, an expropriating authority may expropriate property in terms of a power conferred on it by law of general application and in accordance with Section 5, to 25 and 28. Subsection 4, the power to expropriate includes the power to acquire a right to use property temporarily. That is clause 2, Chairperson, I pause.
Thank you, Pumel. Clause 2, Honorable Members.
Chairperson.
Yes, Honorable Jabo.
On behalf of the ANC, we support the application of Act as it is.
Thank you. Honorable Jabo moves that we support this one. Honorable Kramare.
Thank you, Chairperson. We do not support this clause as it stands currently. Thank you.
Honorable Suisa. Thank you, Honorable Prime Marit.
Not in support, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Suisa. Honorable Tring.
The ACDP does not support, Chair. Thank you.
Honorable Hicklin.
We do not support. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Hicklin. Honorable Zondo.
Not in support, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Zondo. Honorable members, we have those that are in support and those that do not support. Can we get to the hands of all those that are in support of this application of the Act, that is clause number 2. Clause number 2. If you can't raise your hand, please indicate.
I'm in support.
Okay. Honorable Matebula, Honorable Pansalve, Honorable Shabalala, Honorable Mashele, Honorable Jobo, and Honorable Ntobongwana are in support of clause 2. Those that do not support, Honorable members, Honorable Graham Mare, Honorable Hicklin, Honorable Zondo, Honorable Suisa, Honorable Tring, do not support. 5 versus 6, then the application of Act Clause number 2 will be in the bill taken to Parliament. Chapter 2, Clause number 3.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chapter 2 is powers of minister to expropriate, and clause 3 is exactly on the powers of minister to expropriate. Clause 3 reads as follows. Subsection 1, subject to the provisions of chapter 5, the minister may expropriate property for a public purpose or in the public interest. Subsection 2, the minister may expropriate property on behalf of an organ of state which has been established by or under any law but is not expropriating authority, if A, the member of the executive responsible for the administration of that law requests the minister to do so in writing, and B, if the minister is satisfied that the organ of state requires the property for a public purpose or in the public interest. Subsection 3. The minister's power to expropriate property in terms of subsections 1 and 2 includes the power to expropriate property to be used for the provision and management of the accommodation and land and infrastructure needs of an organ of state. Subsection 4, where only a portion of the land is to be expropriated, the minister may expropriate that portion together with the remainder of the land parcel if A, the owner so requests, and B, the minister is satisfied that partial expropriation would impair the use or potential use of the remainder, and that it would be just and equitable to the owner to expropriate the remainder. Subsection 5, when the minister expropriates property in terms of subsection 2, A, the ownership of the property vests in the relevant organ of state on the date of expropriation. B, the right to possession of the property vests in the relevant organ of state in terms of section 9. C, subject to section 95B, the relevant organ of state is liable for the fees, duties, and other charges which would have been payable by that organ of state in terms of any law if it had purchased that property. And D, all costs incurred by the minister in the performance of his or her functions on behalf of an organ of state must be refunded by the relevant organ of state within a reasonable time. That is clause 5 That is clause 3, Chairperson. I pause.
Thank you, Ms. Kume. Clause 3, honorable members, powers of the minister, honorable Suwita, honorable Graham Murray.
Not in support, Chair.
Thank you, honorable Suwita, honorable Graham Murray.
Thank you, Chairperson. We do not support specifically subsection 3 and subsection 5 in clause 3. Thank you very much.
Honorable, thank you, Honorable Prime Murray, Honorable Tring.
Not in support of this particular clause, Chair, thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Tring, Honorable Hicklin. Honorable Hicklin.
Thank you, Chair, not in support of 3 and 5. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Hicklin.
I said not in support of 3 and 5. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Zondo.
Not in support, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Zondo. Honorable Njoba.
Thank you, Chairperson. In support, Chairperson. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Honorable Njobo. Honorable members, those that are in support of clause 3 of the bill. Honorable Matebula in support. Honorable Shabalala in support. Honorable Fanskalvik in support. Honorable Mashele in support. And Honorable Ntobongwana in support. I suppose that Honorable Tring's hand is a legal hand because he has clearly indicated that he is not in support. And
then those it's a legacy are, and my apologies. My apologies, Chair.
No. I've noted that. Honorable Van Stalweg, Honorable Mashele. Then those that do not support the bill. Honorable Siwisa, Honorable Tring has indicated so, Honorable Graham Murray, Honorable Zondo, Honorable Hicklin. They are 5. They are not in support of Honorable, they are not in support of Clause 3 and 6 are in support of Clause 3. Then it will appear in our report. Clause 4, it's very short. Clause 4.
Thank you, Chair. I was trying to unmute. Clause 4 is on delegation or assignment of ministers' powers and duties. For subsection 1, subject to subsection 2, the minister may delegate or assign either generally or in relation to a particular property or a particular case, a power or duty under this Act to an official of the department. Subsection 2. The minister may not delegate or assign the powers or duties conferred by sections 3, section 21, section 21, subsection 1, and section 26. That is clause 4, Chairperson, I pause.
Thank you, Ms. Ngema. Clause 4, as I indicated, is very short. It's very, very short. Honorable members, I think we all agree on this one. Honorable Graham Murray.
Thank you, Chair. The Democratic Alliance supports this clause.
Thank you, Honorable Graham Murray. Honorable Tring.
Thank you, Chair. ACDP will support as well. Thank you.
Honorable Suwisa. Thank you, Honorable Tring. Honorable Suwisa.
Not in support, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Suwisa. Honorable Hicklin.
In support, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Hicklin. Honorable Zondo.
In support, Chair.
Honorable Njobo. Thank you, Honorable Zondo.
Support.
Honorable Njobo.
In support, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Njobo. In support. Only one that is not in support of the bill or of the clause 4, Honorable Suwisa, does not support the clause. All other members support the clause. Clause number 5, chapter 3.
Thank you, Chairperson. Investigation and evaluation of property is chapter 3. And clause 5 is investigation and gathering of information for purposes of expropriation. Subsection 1, the expropriating authority must consider all relevant factors when deciding whether to expropriate property and must ascertain A, the suitability of the property for the required purpose, B, the existence of registered and unregistered rights in the property, C, and facts relevant to calculating an amount of compensation that accords with Section 12, and formulate an offer of just and equitable compensation for each person who would be affected if the property were expropriated. Subsection 2, subject to subsection 3, if the property is land, an expropriating authority may authorize in writing A, person with the necessary skills or expertise for the purposes of subsection 1A to Roman figure 1, enter upon the property with the necessary workers, equipment and vehicles at all reasonable times or as may be agreed to by the owner or occupier of the property. Roman figure 2, authorize in writing to survey and determine the area and levels of the land. Roman figure 3, to dig or bore on or into the land. Roman figure 5, construct and maintain a measuring way in any river or stream. Roman figure 5, insofar as it may be necessary to gain access to the property, enter upon and go across another property with the necessary workers, equipment, and vehicles. And Roman figure 6, demarcate the boundaries of the property required for the said purpose. And B, a valuer to enter upon the land and the building on such land to do the necessary inspections and investigation for the purposes of valuing it. Subsection 3, no person contemplated in subsection 2 may enter the property without written authorization from the expropriating authority and A, without the written consent of the owner or occupier of the property, including the written consent of the owner or occupier of property contemplated in subsection 2A, Roman figure 5. To perform an act contemplated in subsection 2, or B, no person may enter in the event of the owner or occupier refusing or failing to grant consent contemplated in paragraph A. A court order authorizing entry onto the land, including any building thereon, for purposes of conducting the investigations contemplated in subsection 2. Subsection 4. The valuer contemplated in subsection 2B may A, require the owner or occupier of the property to give access to a document in the possession or under the control of the owner or occupier with the valuer reasonably requires for the purposes of valuing the property, B, extract information from or make copies of a document to which access is given in terms of paragraph A, C, in writing, require the owner or occupier of the property to provide, either in writing or orally, particulars of the property that are reasonably required for the purposes of valuing the property. And D, despite the provisions of any law to the contrary, require the municipality in whose area the land is situated to provide, Roman figure 1, access to building plans of improvements on such land, Roman figure 2, a copy or copies of building plans relating to the land and any improvements at the cost of the valuer or valuers. And Roman figure 3, information about municipal property rates or other charges, land use, rights such as zoning, the availability of engineering services, which information is in possession of the municipality concerning the land, and which is reasonably required for the valuation of the said land by the valuer. Subsection 5, unless the information has already been obtained, the expropriating authority must A, deliver a notice to the following persons to provide the names and addresses of all holders of rights in the property known to them, as well as particulars of those rights by written reply within 20 days of delivery of the notice. Roman figure 1, the expropriating deliver to the owner, a person apparently in charge of the property. Roman figure 3, the holder of a right known to the expropriating authority, and Roman figure 4, the mortgagee, and B, if the property is land, consult Roman figure 1, the department responsible for rural development and land reform, for environmental affairs, for mineral resources, and for water and sanitation, and any other organ of state whose functions and responsibilities will be materially affected by the intended expropriation for the purposes of establishing the existence of and the impact of expropriation on rights therein. Roman figure 2, and the municipality as contemplated in section 6, unless the expropriating authority is the municipal council. Subsection 6, paragraph A, a person contemplated in subsection 2 must, Roman figure 1, provide the owner or occupier of the property with a copy of the written authority, Roman figure 2, at all times while performing an authorized act, be in possession of the written authority, and Roman figure 3, provide written identification to the owner or occupier of the property by means of an official identification document. And paragraph B of subsection 6, the owner or occupier of the property may refuse entry to the property to a person contemplated in subsection 2 who fails to comply with paragraph A, or may refuse to allow an act contemplated in subsection 2. Subsection 7, if the property in question is damaged through an act contemplated in subsection 2, an affected person may deliver written demand to the expropriating authority, and the expropriating authority must repair the damage to a reasonable standard or compensate for the damage without undue delay. Any legal proceedings arising out of a claim under subsection 7 must comply with the Institution of Legal Proceedings Against Certain Organs of State Act 2002, which is Act Number 40 of 2002. Subsection 9, the powers, authority, and obligations conferred or imposed by this section are subject to the laws governing the protection of personal and private information and must be exercised accordingly. Subsection 10, if the property is not land, the expropriating authority may authorize a suitably qualified person or valuer to ascertain its suitability and value for determining an amount for compensation to be offered. Chairperson, that is the end of clause 5. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Kume, honorable members, that is clause 5. I will then, those that are in support or those that do not support, honorable Grandmother, honorable Suiza.
Sorry, thank you, Chairperson. We believe that subsections 1, 5, and 7 still require further amendment, and for that reason, we cannot support clause 5. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Grandmother. Honourable Suiza?
Not in support, Chair.
Honourable Njobo? Honourable Suiza, Honourable Njobo?
We are, on behalf of ANC, we are in support.
Thank you, Honourable Trink. Thank you, Honourable Njobo.
The ACDP does not support clause 5. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Trink. Honourable Suiza?
Not in support, Chair.
Honourable Hicklin.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. We are not in support as subsections 1, 5 and 7 need further amendments. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Zonda. Thank you. Honourable Hicklin.
Not in support, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Zonda. Honourable Matebula.
In support, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Honourable Members. We will then look for all those that are in support. Can you please raise your hands, Honourable Members, those that are in support of the bill? Those that are in support of the bill. Honourable Shabalala, Honourable Mashales, Honourable Franz Calvey, Honourable Matebula, and Ntobongwana are in support of clause number 5. And those that do not support, it's 6. Those that do not support, Honourable Tring, Honourable Siwisa, Honourable Graham Mare, Honourable Zondo, Honourable Hicklin, they are 5. I believe Honourable Mashele has indicated that he is in support. He cannot support and do not support at the same time. So those that do not support are 5. Thank you, Honourable Members. Can we go to clause number 6?
Thank you, Chairperson. Clause 6 is on consultation with municipality during investigation. 6.1. When considering whether to expropriate land, an expropriating authority must, if not already established, make a written request to the municipal manager of the municipality where the land is situated to explain how the contemplated expropriation would affect municipal planning. Sub 2. The request contemplated in subsection 1 must include A, a statement that the expropriating authority is contemplating the acquisition of land, B, a full description of the land in question, C, details of the purpose for which the land is required, and D, other details that the expropriating authority considers necessary. Subsection 3, the municipal manager must deliver a written response to the request contemplated in subsection 1 within 20 days of receipt or within a reasonable time to be agreed between the expropriating authority and the municipal manager. Subsection 4. If the expropriating authority and municipal manager, subsection 4. If the expropriating authority is the municipal council of the municipality where the land is situated, the request contemplated in subsection 1 is not required. Chairperson, that is the end of clause 6. I pause.
Thank you, Ms. Ngema. Honourable Members, clause 6. Honourable Grammar.
Thank you, Chairperson. We believe that clause subsection 3 should be further amended, and for that reason we cannot support clause 6. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Graham Mare. Honourable Siwisa?
Not in support, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Siwisa. Honourable Tring?
The ACGP does not support. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Tring. Honourable Njoba?
ANC support clause 6.
Honourable Njoba? Honourable Zonda?
ANC not in support.
Thank you, Honourable Members. And then we'll go now on the voting process. Those that are in support of the clause number 6 of the bill, those that are in support of clause number 6 of the bill, is Honourable Franz Calvey, Honourable Mashele, Honourable Shabalala,
Honourable Njobo,
Honourable Njobo, Honourable Matebula, thank you, and Ntobongwana, they are in support, it's 6. Those that do not support the clause number 5 of the bill, Honourable Graham Mare, Honourable Siwisa, Honourable Hicklin, Honourable Tring indicated, and Honourable Zondo, those that do not support, they are 5. Can you please, Honourable Members, look at the hands that you are raising so that you are not counted wrongly? Honourable Mashele, please. those that do not support it, five. Honorable Hickley, I've counted you, my dear. Can we, so this clause will appear on the bill taken to Parliament. We go to chapter 4, clause number 7.
Thank you, Chairperson. We are on
clause sorry, 7. Chair. No point, Chair, no point of order?
Yes, Honorable Chair.
Chair, I think you said those not in support of clause 5. It should have been clause 6.
Oh, not clause 7.
No, the previous clause. You said
thank you so much.
You said clause 5, so, I think, instead of clause 6. Thank you, Chair.
So that those even that are writing, they write it properly. We were dealing with clause 6, not clause 5. We were
That's
dealing
thank
with
you,
clause 6. Thank you, Honorable Pink. We're now going to clause 7.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chapter 4, which starts with clause 7, is intention to expropriate and expropriation of property. Clause 7, notice of intention to expropriate. Subsection 1. If an expropriating authority intends to expropriate property, it must A, serve a notice of intention to expropriate on the owner, mortgagee, and holder of a right known to it at the time, and B, publish the notice of intention to expropriate under Section 22(2). Subsection 2, a notice of intention to expropriate must include A, a statement of the intention to expropriate the property, B, a full description of the property, C, a short description of the purpose for which the property is required, D, the address at which documents detailing the purpose of the expropriation may be inspected, and at which particulars of the purpose may be obtained during business hours. E, the reason for the intended expropriation of that particular property. F, the intended future date of expropriation and whether expropriation is for temporary use of the property in the future, the intended period of such temporary use. G, the future date on which the expropriating authority intends to take possession of the property. H, an investigation to any, an invitation to any person who may be affected by the intended expropriation to lodge with the expropriating authority within 30 days after the publication of the said notice. In the invitation, they lodge any objections to the intended expropriation. 2, any submissions relating to the intended expropriation, Roman figure 3, a postal address, email address, or facsimile number for the expropriating authority to communicate with that person. And 4, the preference of official language for further written communication. And subparagraph I, the names of the recipients of the notice and their interest in the property. J, a directive to the owner, mortgagee, and a holder of the right contemplated in subsection 1A to deliver within 30 days of the service of the notice a written list of the names and addresses of any holders of rights other than those listed and particulars of those rights of which the recipient is aware. K, an offer of compensation which the expropriating authority considers just and equitable, and an explanation of how the amount was arrived at with reference to supporting information. L, a statement that the expropriating authority may adjust the amount of compensation under sections 10 and 11 if a holder of a right of whom the expropriating authority had no prior knowledge later claims compensation. And M, a statement drawing attention to sections 14, 19, 23, and 25, subsection 3. If the property is land, the expropriating authority must also deliver a copy of the notice referred to in subsection 1 to A, the Directors General responsible for rural development and land reform, for environmental affairs, for mineral resources, and for water and sanitation, and the accounting authority of any other organ of state whose functions and responsibilities will be materially affected by the intended expropriation, provided that if the expropriating authority is the executive authority of one of the departments or organs of state concern, delivery of such notice to the relevant director general or accounting authority is not required. And B, the municipal manager of the municipality where the property is situated, unless the expropriating authority is the municipal council. Subsection 4, a person responding to a notice contemplated in subsection 1 within 30 days of the service or publication of the notice must A, deliver to the expropriating authority a written statement, Roman figure 1, stating whether he or she accepts the offer of compensation, Roman figure 2, requesting whether particulars under section 14, requesting further particulars under section 14, or Roman figure 3, disputing the amount of compensation offered under section 19. B, if the property is land, give the name and address of Roman figure 1, the lessee, whose unregistered lease of the whole or part of the property was concluded before the notice was issued, together with the lease or a certified copy. Roman figure 2, address of the buyer to whom the property was sold but not yet transferred before the notice was issued, together with the contract of purchase and sale or a certified copy. Or Roman figure 3, if address of the builder who erected a building on the property in terms of a written building contract and holds a builder's lien along with the building contract or a certified copy. And C, state the address at which further documents in connection with the expropriation may be sent and the preferred language of communication. Sub 5, the expropriating authority must consider the statements contemplated in subsection 4, as well as any objections or submissions lodged in terms of subsection 2H, in deciding whether to proceed with the expropriation of the property. 6A, the expropriating authority may decide to expropriate the property after the amount of compensation has been agreed with the owner, mortgagee, or holder of a right, or approved or decided by a court, subject to section 19A, subsection 8. B, if the expropriating authority decides to expropriate, it must serve a notice of expropriation in terms of section 8(1) within a reasonable time. Or Roman figure 2, not to expropriate, it must inform the owner, mortgagee, or holder of the rights accordingly in writing within a reasonable time, and must publish a notice in the Gazette of his or her decision not to proceed in terms of section 22(2). That is clause 7. Chairperson, I pause.
Thank you, Ms. Ngema. Honorable members, that is clause 7. Honorable Grandmara, Honorable Suwisa.
Chairperson, we believe that there are further amendments required to some of these subsections in this clause, and we therefore oppose this clause as it stands.
Thank you, Honourable Suwisa.
Not in support, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Suwisa. Honourable Tring.
The ACDP does not support clause 7. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Tring. Honourable Hickley.
Thank you, Chair. The DA does not support this, pending further amendments to this. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Hicklin.
Honourable
Jabo.
In support,
yes, Honourable Jabo, in support. Honourable Zonda.
In support, yeah. The amendments.
Honourable Zonda, not in support. Honourable members, will now then have to put this on vote. Those that are in support of the bill, can we see the hands? If you cannot raise your hand, you can speak. Honourable Shabalala, Honourable Mashele, Honourable Franz Kalvage, Honourable.
I am in support, sir.
Thank you, Honourable.
Are you in support?
Honorable Jabo also in support, and myself, Ntomongwana, in support. Six. Those that do not support the bill, can you then lower your hands? Honorable Frans Kalvik. Okay, thank you. Honorable Siwisa, Honorable Kramara, Honorable Hicklin. We counting the number of hands that do not support the bill. Let me again start. Honorable Siwisa, Honorable Kramara, Honorable Hicklin, Honorable Tring, and Honorable Zondo do not support clause number 7. Clause number 7 will therefore appear in the bill that we'll be taking to Parliament. Clause number 8.
Thank you, Chairperson. Clause 8 is on notice of expropriation. Clause 8, subsection 1. If the expropriating authority decides to expropriate the property, the expropriating authority must cause a notice of expropriation to be served upon the expropriated owner, mortgagee, and expropriated holder in their preferred language. Subsection 2. The expropriating authority must cause a copy of the notice of expropriation to be A, published in accordance with Section 22(1)(c) or 2, B, delivered to a known holder of a right whose rights have not been expropriated, and C, if the property is land, delivered to Roman Figure 1, the municipal manager of the municipality, where the property is situated, unless the expropriating authority is the municipal council. Roman Figure 2, delivered to the Directors General responsible for rural development and land reform, environmental affairs, mineral resources, and for water and sanitation, and the accounting authority of any other organ of state whose functions and responsibilities will be materially affected by the intended expropriation. Roman Figure 3, if the expropriating authority is the executive authority of one of the departments or organs of state referred to in paragraph in subparagraph Roman Figure 2, delivery of the notice to the Director General of that department or accounting authority of that organ of state is not required. Roman Figure 4, a mortgagee if the land is encumbered by a registered mortgage bond. Roman Figure 5, the buyer if the property is subject to a contract contemplated in Section 7, subsection 4, paragraph B, Roman Figure 2, and Roman Figure 6, the builder if a building on the property is subject to a lien contemplated in Section 7(4), B, Roman Figure 3. Subsection 3, the notice of expropriation must contain A, a statement of the expropriation of the property, the full description of the property, including Roman Figure 1 in the case where the expropriation applies to a portion of a land parcel, the approximate extent of such portion in relation to the whole, or Roman Figure 2, where the expropriation applies to a right in land, a description of the approximate area and position of the land subject to the right. C, a short description of the purpose for which the property is required and the address at which documents setting out that purpose may be inspected, and particulars of that purpose may be obtained during business hours. B, the reason for the expropriation of that particular property. E, the future date of expropriation or where the expropriation is for the temporary use of the property in the future, the intended period of such temporary use. F, the future date on which the right to possession of the property will pass to the expropriating authority after expropriation. And G, subject to Section 20, the amount of compensation agreed upon or approved or decided by a court under Section 19. Subsection 4, the notice of expropriation served in terms of Subsection 1 must be accompanied by documents detailing the following. A, the date or dates on which the expropriating authority proposes to pay the compensation and any interest payable in respect thereof in terms of Section 30B, where the expropriation applies to a portion of a land parcel, a survey diagram or a sketch plan showing the approximate position of such position in relation to the whole. C, where the expropriation applies to a right in land, a survey diagram or a sketch plan on which the approximate position of the right in land on such land is indicated, unless the right in land is accurately described without such survey diagram or a sketch plan. D, an explanation of how the amount of compensation was arrived at, together with supporting documents. E, a statement that the expropriating authority may adjust the amount of compensation if a holder of a right of whom the expropriating authority had no prior knowledge before the compensation was agreed on or approved or decided by a court, later claims compensation. And F, a statement drawing the attention of the expropriated owner, expropriated holder, or any other affected person to the provisions of Section 25. 5. If the property expropriated is land, paragraph 8, the expropriated owner must deliver or cause to be delivered to the expropriating authority, subject to Section 23, within 30 days of the expropriating authority requesting the title deed to such land, or if it is not in his or her possession or under his or her control, written particulars of the name and address of the person in whose possession or under whose control the title deed is. And B, the person referred to in paragraph A in whose possession the title deed may be must deliver or cause to be delivered the title deed in question to the expropriating authority within 20 days of the expropriating authority requesting it, subject to Section 23. That marks the end of Clause 8, Chairperson. I pause.
Thank you, Ms. Kumar. Clause number 8, Honourable Members. Honourable Mara.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. The Democratic Alliance supports this clause in its entirety.
Thank you, Honourable Mara. Honourable Suisa.
Not in support, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Suisa. Honourable Trin.
The ACDP would support Clause 8 with regards to giving notice. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Trin. Honourable Hickley.
We, DA, is in support, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Hickley. Honourable Jabo.
In support, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Njabo. Honourable Members, we have members that support and do not support. I would like them to put this on vote. Those that are in support of the bill, can they raise their hands? Those that are in support of the bill?
Sorry, Chairperson, of this clause, not the bill.
Oh, sorry. I'm dealing with clauses. Thank you, Honourable Chamare, for reminding me that. Oh, so Honourable Zondo, you raised your hand. I didn't point it to you, sorry.
In support.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much. In terms of the hands in front of me, Honourable Shabalala, Honourable Mashele, Honourable Mare, Honourable Zondo, Honourable Hickling, Honourable Franz Kalvik, Honourable Matebula, Honourable Mjobo, and Honourable Tobongwana, they are in support. And
yes, I'm in support. Yes.
And those that do not support, it's Honourable Suisa. So it's 10 versus 1. The clause will be part of the report taken to Parliament. Clause number 9.
Thank you, Chairperson. We are on 9, vesting and possession of expropriated property. 9.1. The effect of an expropriation of property is that A, subject to paragraphs C and D, the ownership of the property described in the notice of expropriation vests in the expropriating authority or in the person on whose behalf the property was expropriated, as the case may be, on the date of expropriation. B, all unregistered rights in such property are simultaneously expropriated on the date of expropriation unless Roman Figure 1, the expropriation of those unregistered rights is expressly excluded in the notice of expropriation, or Roman Figure 2, those rights, including permits or permissions, were granted or exist in terms of the provisions of the Mineral and Petroleum Resources Development Act 2002, which is Act No. 28 of 2002. C, In the case of a right to use property temporarily, the expropriating authority or the person on whose behalf the property was expropriated may, as from the date of expropriation, exercise that right for its duration. D, with the exception of a mortgage, the property remains subject to all registered rights in favor of third parties with which the property was burdened prior to expropriation, unless or until such registered rights are expropriated from the holder. And E, the date of expropriation may not be before the date of service of the notice of expropriation. 9.2. A, the expropriating authority or the person on whose behalf the property was expropriated must take possession of the expropriated property on the date stated in terms of Section 8.3F, or such other dates may be agreed upon with the expropriated owner or expropriated holder. B, the right to possession passes on the relevant date contemplated in paragraph A to the person referred to therein. 3A, the expropriated owner or expropriated holder who is in possession of the property concerned must take all reasonable steps to maintain the property from the date of expropriation to the date referred to in subsection 2 or 4. B, the expropriating authority may recover any amount of depreciation caused by the willful or negligent failure of an expropriated owner or the expropriated holder to maintain the property. C, the expropriating authority must compensate the expropriated owner or expropriated holder for costs necessarily incurred after the date of expropriation in respect of such maintenance. Subsection 4. If the expropriated owner or expropriated holder wishes to transfer the right to possession of the property before the date contemplated in Section 8.3F, but the expropriating authority does not agree, the expropriated owner or expropriated holder may pass the right to possession to the expropriating authority by giving the expropriating authority prior written notice of at least 20 days. Sub 5, the expropriated owner or expropriated holder who is in possession of the property from the date of expropriation to the date referred to in subsection 2b remains A, entitled to the use of and the income from expropriated property, and B, responsible for the municipal property rates, taxes, levies, and other charges, and normal operating costs in respect of the expropriated property. Chairperson, that is clause 9, and I pause.
Thank you, Ms. Kuma. Clause 9, honorable members. Honorable Grandmare, honorable Siwisa, those are the only hands. Honorable Trink.
Yes,
we are in clause 9 now.
Thank you, Chairperson. We feel that further amendment is required in clause subsection 1A, and as a result of that, we oppose the clause.
Thank you, Honourable Grandmother. Honourable Suisse?
Not in support, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Suisse. Honourable Trim?
ACGP does not support, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Trink. Honourable Hicklin?
DA does not support. We will look for further amendments. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Trink. Honourable Zander?
Not in support.
Chair, it was Hicklin that was last, not Trink.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Honourable Jabba?
Yes, Chairperson, on behalf of ANC, in support.
Thank you, honourable members. We will then put this on a vote. Those that support clause number 9. Those that support clause number 9. If you can't raise your hand, you can raise your voice. So
In terms of the hands, we have Honorable Shabalala, we have Honorable Van Stalvik, we have Honorable Mashele, Jobo in support. In terms of the voices, we have Honorable Jobo and Honorable Matebula. And it's my name of those that are in support, which makes six. Those are not in support of this clause. Honorable Mashele, can you lower your hand? Oh, thank you. Honorable Hicklin, Honorable Graham Mare, Honorable Siwisa. If you can't raise your hand, raise your voice. Those that are not in support in terms of voting. Honorable Hicklin, Honorable Graham Mare, Honorable Siwisa, Honorable Tring and Honorable Zondo, they don't support. The clause will then appear in the report that will be taken to Parliament. Clause number 10, Pume.
Thank you, Chair. Verification of unregistered rights in expropriated property, clause 10, sub 1. If after the date of expropriation, a person claims to have held an unregistered right in the expropriated property for which that person has not been compensated, the expropriating authority must request that person to deliver within 30 days of receipt of the request, subject to section 23, a copy of any written instrument evidencing or giving effect to the unregistered rights. If such instrument is in his or her possession or under his or her control or any other evidence to substantiate the claim. Subsection 2, if the unregistered right claimed as contemplated in subsection 1 pertains to the use of improvements on expropriated land, the evidence required in terms of subsection 1 must include A, a full description of those improvements, B, an affidavit or affirmation by the person concerned stating whether those improvements were erected by that person, and if so, whether the materials used for erecting those improvements were owned by that person, and C, the amount claimed as compensation for such unregistered rights, together with details or a report, if any, on how the amount is computed. Subsection 3, after receipt of the evidence requested in terms of subsection 1, and if the unregistered rights claimed pertains to land, the expropriating authority may forward that evidence to the Directors General responsible for rural development and land reform, for environmental affairs, for mineral resources, and for water and sanitation, and to the accounting authority of any other organ or state, as the case may be, for assistance in the verification of such a claim. And subsection 4, a Director General or Accounting Authority referred to in subsection 3 must submit comments within 30 days of receipt of the request contemplated therein. Sub 5, A, the Expropriating Authority must decide on the claim contemplated in subsection 1 within 20 days of expiry of the period referred to in subsection 4, and notify the claimant in writing of the decision. B, if the expropriating authority accepts the claim contemplated in subsection 1, the expropriating authority must serve the notice contemplated in subsection 11, subsection 2 on such claimant. C, if the expropriating authority does not accept the claim contemplated in subsection 1, the expropriating authority must inform the claimant accordingly in writing and must provide reasons for the rejection. Subsection 6, the expropriating authority may require the expropriated owner to compensate a person who held an unregistered right if that person was not given notice of the expropriation as provided in this act, and if the owner ought reasonably to have identified that person in terms of section 7(2)(j) but did not do so. Subsection 7 of clause 10, the expropriating authority may exercise the power in terms of subsection 6 only after giving the expropriated owner a reasonable opportunity to make representations in that regard. That ends clause 10, Chairperson, and I pause there.
Thank you, Ms. Pume. Clause number 10, honorable members, honorable Suwisa, honorable grandmother.
Not in support.
Thank you, honorable Suwisa, honorable grandmother.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. The Democratic Alliance has no issues with this clause and we will support it in its entirety.
Thank you, honorable grandmother, honorable Tring.
Not in support, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Trim, Honourable Higley.
The DA is in support of this clause. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Trim, Honourable Joba.
Honourable Higley, thank you, Chair.
Honourable Joba, in support, Chair.
Thank you, apologies. Sincere apologies, Honourable Higley. Thank you, Honourable Joba. We have those that do not support and those that are in support. Those that are in support of clause number 9.
10, Chair.
Oh, it's clause number 10.
Clause 10, Chair.
Okay. Verification of unregistered rights. Those that are in support of clause number 10, honorable members, Honorable Shabalala, Honorable Van Skalvik, Honorable Graham Murray, Honorable Hicklin, Honorable Zondo, Honorable Mashele, Honorable Njobo, she can't vote. Honorable Matebola, also he can vote, showing a hand. And Honorable Njobongana. I hope that Nola, you are covered. Okay, and then those that do not support clause number 10, thank you, honorable members. Those that do not support, can I see their hands? Those that do not support, can I see their hands? It's honorable Suwisa and honorable Trink. They do not support this clause. This clause will be part of the report taken to Parliament. Clause number 11, Ms. Pume.
Thank you, Chairperson. Clause 11 is on consequences of expropriation of unregistered rights and duties of expropriating authority. 11.1. A person who becomes an expropriated holder by the operation of Section 91B subject to Section 10 and this section is entitled to compensation 2. If the expropriating authority becomes aware that an unregistered right in the expropriated property has been expropriated by the operation of Section 91B and becomes aware of the identity of the expropriated holder thereof, the expropriating authority must serve on that expropriated holder a notice that the unregistered right has been expropriated together with a copy of the notice of expropriation served on the expropriated owner in terms of Section 8.1. 3. The notice contemplated in subsection 2 must A. inform the expropriated holder of the date on which the right to possession of the expropriated property passed to the expropriating authority in terms of Section 9.2 or 9.4. B. Contain a statement contemplated in Section 8.3f, if applicable, and C, except if this information was furnished in terms of Section 10.1, request the expropriated holder to deliver to the expropriating authority within 20 days of receipt of the notice, subject to Section 23, a copy of any written instrument in their possession or under their control, which evidences the unregistered right. Subsection 4. When a notice in terms of Section 2 has been served on the expropriated holder concerned, this Act applies with the changes required by the context as if such notice were a notice of expropriation in terms of Section 8.1. In respect of such unregistered rights, but if that expropriated holder is a lessee, he or she remains liable to pay rentals to the expropriated owner until the right to possession passes in terms of Section 9.2 or 9.4, and if applicable thereafter, the expropriating to the expropriating authority. Sub 5, if the expropriated owner or expropriated holder knew of the existence of an unregistered right contemplated in subsection 2 and failed to inform the expropriating authority of the existence thereof. The expropriated owner or expropriated holder, as the case may be, is liable to the expropriating authority for any loss incurred in the event of the expropriating authority having to pay compensation for the expropriation of the unregistered rights after the date of payment of compensation to the expropriated owner or expropriated holder, as the case may be. Chairperson, that is the end of clause 11, and I shall pause there.
Thank you, Ms. Pume. Clause number 11. Honourable members, Honourable Grandmother.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. The Democratic Alliance has no issues with clause 11 and we therefore support it in its entirety.
Thank you, Honourable Grandmother. Honourable Suisser.
Not in support, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Suisser. Honourable Tring.
Apologies, Chair, I was still muted. The ACDP will support, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Tring. Honourable Hicklin.
The DA will support in its entirety, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Hicklin. Honourable Zander.
I feel in support, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Zander. Honourable Njoba.
ANC in support, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Members. We will now go to the voting process. Those that are in support of the bill, if you don't support, please remove your hand.
Clause, Chair. Clause, Chair.
Clause number 11 of the bill. Thank you, Honourable Members. Honourable Van Stelwijk, Honourable Shabalala, Honourable Graham Murray, Honourable Mashele, Honourable Hicklin, Honourable Trink, Honourable Njobo and Honourable Matebula. They don't have the device to raise their hands. Honourable Njobongwana, they only support. And those that do not support clause number 11 of the bill, do not support. Do not support. It's Honourable Siwisa. Thank you. Honourable Members, the clause will be part of the report going to Parliament. We then go to clause number 12.
Chairperson, may I request Advocate Van Breda to take over from here so that I can just take a sip and take members through. Thank you, Chair.
Clause number 12, Advocate Van Breda.
Advocate, you
wanted
to stop sharing and you use your own.
Yeah, I would rather share my own screen. If I can be given sharing rights.
Ms. Martinez, I can give Advocate Van Breda sharing rights. Thank you.
Chair, as the parliamentary advisor has indicated, I will take the committee through the remaining clauses of the bill. I hope I am audible, Chair.
Audible enough.
Okay. Chapter 5, Chair, it deals with compensation for expropriation, and Clause 12 concerns determination of compensation. And then Subclause 1, the amount of compensation must be just and equitable, reflecting an equitable balance between the public interest and the interest of the expropriated owner or expropriated holder, having regard to all relevant circumstances, including paragraph A, the current use of the property, B, the history of the acquisition and use of the property, C, the market value of the property, D, the extent of direct state investment and subsidy in the acquisition and beneficial capital improvement of the property, and E, the purpose of the expropriation. C, subclause 2, in determining the amount of compensation to be paid in terms of this act, the expropriating authority must not, unless there are special circumstances in which it would be just and equitable to do so, take account of paragraph A, the fact that the property has been taken without the consent of the expropriated owner or expropriated holder, B, the special suitability or usefulness of the property for the purpose for which it is required by the expropriating authority, if it is unlikely that the property would have been purchased for that purpose in the open market. Paragraph C, any enhancement in the value of the property, if such enhancement is a consequence of the use of the property in a manner which is unlawful. D, improvements made to the property in question after the date on which the notice of expropriation was served upon the expropriated owner or expropriated holder, as the case may be, except where the improvements were agreed to in advance by the expropriating authority, or where they were undertaken in pursuance of obligations entered into before the date of expropriation. E, anything done with the object of obtaining compensation, therefore, and if any enhancement or depreciation before or after the date of service of the notice of expropriation in the value of the property in question, which can be directly attributed to the purpose in connection with which the property was expropriated. Subclause 3, it may be just and equitable for nil compensation to be paid where land is expropriated in the public interest, having regard to all relevant circumstances, including but not limited to paragraph A, where the land is not being used and the owner's main purpose is not to develop the land or use it to generate income, but to benefit from appreciation of its market value. B, where an organ of state holds land that it is not using for its core functions and is not reasonably likely to require the land for its future activities in that regard, and the organ of state acquired the land for no consideration. C, notwithstanding the registration of ownership in terms of the Deeds Registries Act 1937, Act Number 47 of 1937, where an owner has abandoned the land by failing to exercise control over it. D, where the market value of the land is equivalent to or less than the present value of direct state investment or subsidy in the acquisition and beneficial capital improvement of the land, and paragraph E, when the nature or condition of the property poses a health, safety or physical risk to persons or other property. Subclause 4, when a court or arbitrator determines the amount of compensation in terms of Section 23 of the Land Reform Labor Tenants Act 1996, Act Number 3 of 1996, it may be just and equitable for nil compensation to be paid, having regard to all relevant circumstances. Subclause 5, if the property is land, the expropriating authority must consider the amount of outstanding municipal property rates, taxes, levies, and charges relating to the property when making an offer of just and equitable compensation. Chair, that is clause number 12.
Thank you, Advocate Van Breda. Honorable members, clause number 12. Honorable Tring, Honorable Graham Murray, Honorable Sulisa.
The ACDP would not support clause 12. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Tring, Honorable Graham Murray.
Thank you, Chairperson. Owing to the fact that we believe subsection 3 is unconstitutional, we cannot support clause 12 in its entirety. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Graham Murray, Honorable Sulisa.
Not in support, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Suisa. Honourable Hicklin.
Thank you, Chair. The DA cannot support this on the grounds that subsection 3 is unconstitutional. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Hicklin. Honourable Zonda. Thank you, Honourable Zonda. Honourable Njaba.
The ANC in support, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Njaba. We will now take this to voting process, Honorable Members. Those that are in support of clause number 12 of the bill, those that are in support, Honorable Shabalala, Honorable Mashele, Honorable Van Schalkwyk, Honorable Njaba, Honorable Matebula, and myself are in support of clause number 12 of the bill. Those that are in support of the bill, can you please lower your hands? Honorable Mashele, lower your hand. Honorable Mashele, okay. Honorable Graham Murray, Honorable Tring, Honorable Hicklin, Honorable Siwisa, and Honorable Zondo do not support clause number 12 of the bill. The clause will be part of the report going to Parliament. Clause number 13.
Chair, clause 13 deals with interest on compensation and reads interest at the rate determined from time to time in terms of section 81B of the Public Finance Management Act 1999, Act number 1 of 1999, from the date the expropriating authority or the person on whose behalf the property was expropriated takes possession of the expropriated property, accrues on any outstanding portion of the amount of compensation payable in accordance with section 12 and becomes payable in the manner contemplated in section 15, provided that, paragraph A, until the claimant complies with the requirement of section 15.5, the amount so payable during the period of such failure and for the purposes of the payment of interest is not regarded as an outstanding amount. B, interest due in terms of the subsection must be regarded as having been paid on the date on which the amount has been made available or dispatched to the expropriated owner or the expropriated holder concerned by prepaid registered post or electronically transferred to his or her account, as the case may be, and C, a payment, utilization, or deposit of an amount in terms of Section 15.1, 17.2, or 18.1, or subsection 2 must be regarded as being a payment to the expropriated owner or an expropriated holder, and no interest accrues on any such amount as from the date on which it has been so paid, utilized, or deposited. Chair, that is clause 13.
Honorable members, clause number 13, Honorable Graham Murray.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. The DA supports this clause in its entirety. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Graham Murray. Honorable Siwisa?
Not in support, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Siwisa. Honorable Tring?
ACDP will support, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Tring. Honorable Hicklin?
Thank you, Chair. The DA will support in its entirety, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Hicklin. Honorable Zanda?
I feel in support, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Zondo. Honorable Njobo?
In support, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Njobo. Honorable members, those that are in support of clause number 13 of the bill, those that are in support of clause number 13 of the bill, Honorable Shabalala, Honorable Graham Murray, Honorable Franz Kalveig, Honorable Hicklin, Honorable Trink, Honorable Njoba, Honorable Matebula, Honorable Mashele, Honorable Zondo, they are all in support, and Tebongwana, Honorable, those that do not support, Honorable Siwisa. Thank you, Honorable members. This clause will be part of the report taken to Parliament. Clause number 14.
Chair, clause 14 concerns requests for particulars. Subclause 1, the owner, mortgagee, and holder of a right may request the expropriating authority in writing to provide reasonable particulars about the offer of compensation, and particulars so requested must be furnished within 20 days of such request. Subclause 2, if the expropriating authority fails to provide the requested particulars, the person making such a request in terms of subsection 1 may, on notice, apply to a court for an order directing the expropriating authority to comply with subsection 1, and the court may make such an order. Subclause 3, an offer of just and equitable compensation remains in force until A, revised by the expropriating authority, B, the amount of compensation has been agreed upon, or C, the compensation has been decided or approved by a court. Chair, that is clause 14.
Thank you, Advocate Van Brother. That is clause number 14. Honorable members, clause number 14. Honorable Graham Murray, Honorable Suwisa, Honorable Jabo.
Thank you, Chairperson. I apologize. Thank you, Chairperson. We believe that this clause requires further amendment, and as such, we cannot support the clause as it stands.
Thank you, Honorable Graham Murray, Honorable Suwisa.
Not in support, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Suwisa. Honorable Jabo?
14 in support.
Thank you, Honorable Jabo. Honorable Tring?
The ACDP does not support, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Tring. Honorable Hicklin?
The Democratic Alliance does not support as it needs further work. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Hicklin. Honorable members, the clause number 14, those that are in support of clause number 14 should raise their hands already.
Let's be not in support, Chair.
Okay, no problem. Thank you, Honorable Zondo. Those that are in support of clause number 14, Honorable members, Honorable Fanskalvik, Honorable Shabalala, Honorable Mashele, Honorable Njobo, Honorable Matebula, and Ndobongwana. They are in support of clause number 14. Those that do not support clause number 14, Honorable Graham Murray, Honorable Suwisa, Honorable Hicklin, Honorable Tring, Honorable Zondo, do not support clause number 14. That clause will be part of the report going to Parliament. Clause number 15.
Chair, clause 15 concerns payment of compensation, subclause 1, subject to sections 16, 17 and 18, an expropriated owner or expropriated holder is entitled to payment of compensation by no later than the date on which the right to possession passes to the expropriating authority in terms of section 9, 2 or 4. Subclause 2, the payment, utilization or deposit of any amount contemplated in sections 16, 17 and 18 does not preclude the determination of an amount by agreement or by a court, provided that where the amount so determined is less than the amount paid, the difference must be refunded to the expropriating authority together with interest at the rate contemplated in section 13 from the date on which the amount was so paid, utilized or deposited. Subclause 3, any delay in payment of compensation to the expropriated owner or expropriated holder by virtue of subsection 2 or any other dispute arising will not prevent the passing of the right to possession to the expropriating authority in terms of section 9(2) or 4 unless the court orders otherwise. Subclause 4, if the expropriating authority, expropriated owner or expropriated holder has proposed a later date than the date contemplated in subsection 1 for the payment of compensation, the party proposing later payment may, in the absence of agreement, apply to court for an order for payment on such later date, and the court may make an appropriate order having regard to all relevant circumstances. Subclause 5, if value-added tax is levyable by a claimant in terms of subsection 71A of the Value-Added Tax Act 1991, Act No. 89 of 1991, by virtue of section 8, subsection 21 of that act, payment of compensation must be made by the expropriating authority only upon receipt of a tax invoice as required in terms of section 20 of that act from the claimant, together with confirmation of the tax compliance status of the claimant by the South African Revenue Service. Subclause 6, the minister may prescribe the information and documentation to be delivered by a person to whom compensation or interest is payable in terms of this act in order to facilitate electronic payment thereof. Chair, that is clause 15.
Thank you, Advocate Van Brother. Clause number 15, Honorable Members, Honorable Graham Murray.
Thank you, Chairperson. The Democratic Alliance feels that subclause 3 is highly prejudicial, and on that basis, we cannot support clause 15.
Thank you, Honorable Graham Murray, Honorable Suwisa.
Not in support, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Suwisa. Honorable Tring?
The ACDP will not support clause 15. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Tring. Honorable Hickman?
Thank you, Chair. The Democratic Alliance takes umbrage with this, and we will not support this clause. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Hicklin. Honourable Zonda.
I feel not in support, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Zonda. Honourable Jabba.
I am to support.
Thank you, Honourable Jabba. We'll now put it on vote. Honourable members, those that are in support of clause number 15 of the bill, those that are in support. Honourable Shabalala, Honourable Franz Calvey, Honourable Mashele, Honourable Jabba, Honourable Matebula, and Ndobongwana are in support of the clause number 15 of the bill, payment of compensation. Those that do not support clause number 15 of the bill, those that do not support. Honourable Siwisa, Honourable Graham Murray, Honourable Hicklin, Honourable Trink and Honourable Zondo do not support clause number 15. This clause will be part of the report taken to Parliament. Clause number 16.
Chair, clause 16 concerns property subject to a mortgage or deed of sale. Subclause 1, if property expropriated in terms of this Act was immediately prior to the date of expropriation encumbered by a registered mortgage or subject to a deed of sale, the expropriating authority may not pay out any portion of the compensation money except to such person and on such terms as may have been agreed upon between the expropriated owner or expropriated holder and the mortgagee or buyer concerned, as the case may be, after the claimant has notified the expropriating authority of the agreement. Subclause 2, the expropriated owner or expropriated holder of the or the mortgagee or buyer, as the case may be, must notify the expropriating authority no later than 30 days from the date contemplated in Section 9204 of the agreement and its terms contemplated in Subsection 1, failing which the expropriating authority may deposit the compensation money with the master in terms of Section 18.2. Subclause 3, in the event of a dispute arising out of Subsection 1, the expropriating authority may deposit the compensation money with the master, and any of the disputing parties may apply to a court of competent jurisdiction for an order directing the master to pay out the compensation money in such manner and on such terms as the court may determine. Chair, that is clause 16.
Thank you, Advocate Van Breda. Clause number 16, Honourable Members, Honourable Graham Murray.
Thank you, Chairperson. The DA believes that this clause remains prejudicial to the holder of the mortgage, and as such, we cannot support it in its current form.
Thank you, Honourable Graham Murray. Honourable Siwisa?
Not in support, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Siwisa. Honourable Trin?
Thank you, Chair. The ACDP will not support clause 16.
Thank you, Honourable Trin. Honourable Hicklin?
Thank you, Chair. The DA believes more work needs to be done on this and we do not support it, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Hicklin. Honourable Zondo?
I feel not in support, sir.
Thank you, Honourable Zondo. Honourable Njabo?
In support, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Njabo. Honourable members, we'll then put this on vote. Those that are in support of clause number 16 of the bill. It's Honourable Shabalala, Honourable Franz Salvey, Honourable Mashele, Honourable Njobo, Honourable Matebula, and Ndobongwana. They support clause number 16. Those that are in support, Honourable Members? Those that do not support clause number 16, Honourable Members? It's Honourable Graham Murray, Honourable Siwisa, Honourable Hicklin, Honourable Trink, and Honourable Zondo, it's 5-6. That clause will therefore go to the report that will be taken to Parliament. Clause number 17, Advocate Van Breda.
Chair, clause 17 concerns payment of municipal property rates, taxes, and other charges out of compensation money. Subclause 1. The expropriating authority must pay outstanding municipal rates, taxes, levies, and other charges out of the compensation money. Subclause 2, if land which has been expropriated is subject to the charges contemplated in subsection 1, the municipal manager must, within 30 days of receipt of a copy of the notice of expropriation in terms of section 82C1, inform the expropriating authority in writing of such charges as at the date contemplated in section 9204, unless the expropriating authority is a municipal council or the municipality where the land is situated. 3A. The expropriating authority must in writing notify the expropriated owner or expropriated holder of any outstanding charges contemplated in subsection 1. Paragraph B, if the expropriated owner or expropriated holder does not dispute the outstanding charges contemplated in paragraph A, within 20 days of the notification, the expropriating authority may utilize as much of the compensation money in question as is necessary for the payment on behalf of the expropriated owner or expropriated holder of any outstanding charges contemplated in subsection 1. Subclause 4, if the municipal manager fails to inform the expropriating authority of the outstanding charges contemplated in subsection 1 within the period of 30 days as contemplated in subsection 2, the expropriating authority may pay the compensation to the expropriated owner or expropriated holder without regard to the outstanding municipal property rates or other charges. And in such an event, and despite the provisions of any law to the contrary, paragraph A, the registrar of deeds must register the transfer of the expropriated property. B, the expropriating authority or the person on whose behalf the property was expropriated, as the case may be, is not liable to the municipality concerned before or after such registration for the outstanding municipal property rates or other charges. And C, despite the provisions of any other law, the expropriated owner remains liable to the municipality for rates and other charges levied on the property until the right to possession vests in the expropriating authority in terms of Section 83F or Section 94. Chair, that is Clause 17.
Thank you, Advocate Van Brugge. Clause number 17, Honourable Members, Honourable Graham Murray, Honourable Suisa.
Thank you, Chairperson. The Democratic Alliance feels that subclause 4C requires further amendment in terms of form and substance. You'll see the wording there, and on that basis, we cannot support the clause. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Grammar. Honourable Suisa?
Not in support, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Suisa. Honourable Chair?
The ACDP does not support. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable King. Honourable Hickley?
Thank you, Chair. The DA believes more work needs to be done and we are not in support. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Hicklin. Honourable Zander?
I feel not in support, Chair.
Which are in support, Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Honourable Njabo. Then, Honourable Members, I put this on the vote. Those that are in support of clause number 17. Can you please raise your hands, or if not your hand, you raise your voice. Honorable Shabalala, Honorable Franz Kalvik, Honorable Mashele, Honorable Njabo, Honorable Matebula, and Dubungwana are in support of clause number 17. Then those that do not support clause number 17. Honorable Siwesa, Honorable Kramare, Honorable Hicklin, Honorable Trin, and Honorable Zondo, with 5 versus 6. That means clause number 17 will be part of the report going to Parliament. We're then going to clause number 18, Advocate Van Brugge.
Chair, clause 18 concerns deposit of compensation money with the master. Subclause 1, the expropriating authority must deposit the amount of compensation payable in terms of this act with the master, after which the expropriating authority ceases to be liable in respect of that amount. Paragraph A, if a property expropriated under this act was left in terms of a will or testament to an undetermined beneficiary or beneficiaries. B, if compensation is payable in terms of this act to a person whose address is not readily ascertainable or who, unless otherwise agreed, fails to supply the prescribed information and documentation for electronic payment within 20 days of
been given written notice to do so, or C, if compensation is payable and the expropriating authority, after reasonable endeavours, is unable to determine to whom it must be paid. Subclause 2, in the event of a dispute or doubt as to the person who is entitled to receive compensation payable in terms of this Act, or in the event that an interdict prevents the expropriating authority from paying compensation to that person, the expropriating authority may deposit the amount of compensation with the master. Subclause 3, any money received by the master in terms of subsection 1 or 2 must be paid into the Guardian's Fund referred to in section 86 of the Administration of Estates Act, 1965, Act number 66 of 1965, for the benefit of the persons who are or may become entitled thereto and bear interest at the interest rate determined in terms of section 81B of the Public Finance Management Act, 1999, Act number 1 of 1999. Sub 4, a court of competent jurisdiction may make an order which it may deem expedient in respect of money received by the master in terms of subsection 1 or 2, Chair, that is clause 18.
Thank you, Advocate Van Breda. That is clause number 18, Honourable Members. Honourable Graham Murray.
Thank you, Chairperson. The Democratic Alliance supports this clause in its entirety.
Thank you, Honourable Graham Murray. Honourable Suwesa.
Not in support, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Suwesa. Honourable Hickley.
Thank you, Chair. The Democratic Alliance supports this in its entirety.
Thank you, Honourable Hicklin. Honourable Tring. The
ACDP supports clause 18. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Tring. Honourable Zondo.
In support, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Zondo. Honourable Njabo.
In support, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Njabo. We will put this then, Honourable Members, on vote. Those that are in support of clause number 18 of the bill, those that are in support of clause number 18, Honourable Shabalala, Honourable Graham Murray, Honourable Franz Galvik, Honourable Mashele, Honourable Ishiklin, Honourable Trink, Honourable Njabo, Honourable Matebula, Zondo, Honourable Zondo and Tebungwana. They all in support. And then those that do not support this clause, Honourable Siwusa does not support the clause. The clause will be part of the report going to Parliament. Clause number 19, Advocate Van Breda.
Chapter 6 deals with mediation and determination by a court. Clause 19 concerns mediation and determination by court. Subclause 1, if the expropriating authority and a disputing party do not agree on the amount of compensation, they may attempt to settle the dispute by mediation, which must be initiated and finalized without undue delay by either party. Subclause 2, if the expropriating authority and disputing party do not settle the dispute by consensus or mediation, either party may, within 180 days of the date of the notice of expropriation, institute proceedings in a competent court for the court to decide or approve the amount of just and equitable compensation. Subclause 3, the disputing party may, instead of instituting such proceedings himself or herself within 90 days of the date of the notice of expropriation, request the expropriating authority in writing to institute such proceedings, and the expropriating authority must institute such proceedings within 180 days of receiving such request. Subclause 4, a court may extend the time periods in subsections 2 and 3 on good cause shown and if the interests of justice so require. Subclause 5, the onus of or burden of proof is not affected by whether it is the expropriating authority or the disputing party which institutes the proceedings referred to in this section. Sub 6, subsection 2 does not preclude a person from approaching a court or on any matter relating to the application of this Act. Sub 7, where a court finds that a provision of this Act has not been complied with, it may make such order as it considers just and equitable, having regard to all relevant circumstances, including paragraph A, the nature and extent of the interest of the person who has challenged the conduct in question, B, the materiality of the non-compliance, C, the stage which has been reached in the expropriation process, and D, the interest of other persons which may be affected by the relief which is ordered. Sub 8, any appeal against the decision of a court on the amount of compensation will not prevent the expropriating authority from expropriating for the amount approved or decided unless a court grants an interim interdict based on compelling prospects of success of the appeal. Sub 9, a court may make any order as to costs that it considers just and equitable for proceedings in subsections 2 and 3. Chair, that is clause 19.
Clause number 19, Honourable Members, Honourable Grandmother, Honourable Sewisa.
Thank you, Chairperson. The Democratic Alliance finds that sub-clause 8 is still problematic, and on that basis we cannot support the clause in its entirety. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Grandmother. Honourable Sewisa, Honourable Hicklin, Honourable Cheng, in that order, please.
Not in support, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. The Democratic Alliance finds that sub-clause 8 is problematic, and on that basis, we don't support this clause. Thank you, Chair.
The ACDP also does not support the clause. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Jobo, you are in support. Honourable Members, who will then go to this.
I have not in support.
Okay, Honourable Zondo, thank you. We'll put this on vote. Those that are in support of the bill, no, sorry, in support of clause number 19. Honourable Shabalala, Honourable Van Skalwijk, Honourable Njobo, Honourable Mathebula, Honourable Mashele, and Dobongwana, they are in support of clause number 19. And those that do not support clause number 19, Honourable Hicklin, Honourable Sewisa, Honourable Graham Mare, Honourable Hing and Honourable Zondo, they do not support. This clause will be part of the report that will be forwarded to Parliament. Thank you, Honourable Members. Advocate Van Peta, we're going to clause number 20 now.
Chair, Chapter 7 and Clause 20 concerns urgent expropriation. Subclause 1, an expropriating authority may, if a property is required on an urgent basis, exercise a right to use property temporarily for so long as it is urgently required for a period not exceeding 12 months. Subclause 2, the power referred to in subsection 1 may only be exercised if suitable property held by the national, provincial or local government is not available under the following circumstances. A, in the case of a disaster as defined in the Disaster Management Act 2002, Act No. 57 of 2002, or B, where a court grants an order that an expropriating authority is entitled to use the provisions of this section due to, subparagraph 1, urgent and exceptional circumstances that justify action under subsection 1, subparagraph 2, real and imminent danger to human life or substantial injury or damage to property, or 3, any other ground which in the view of the court justifies action under subsection 1. Subclause 3, should an expropriating authority exercise the power referred to in subsection 1, the expropriating authority will be exempted from compliance with the provisions of sections 5.1, 6.1 and 7.1. But if the property is land, the expropriating authority becomes liable for the municipal property rates, taxes, levies and similar charges from date of expropriation. Subclause 4, the owner or the holder of a right whose right in property has been taken for temporary use in terms of this section is entitled to just and equitable compensation as calculated, determined and paid in terms of this act. Subclause 5, the expropriating authority must make a written offer of compensation to the expropriated owner or expropriated holder of a right as soon as reasonably possible. but not later than 30 days from the date on which the notice to use the property temporarily was given, and payment must be made as soon as reasonably possible thereafter, provided that in the event of any dispute, Section 19 applies. Subclause 6, if the property taken for temporary use in terms of this section is damaged during the use of the property, the expropriating authority must repair such damage or compensate the owner or the holder of a right concerned for the damage. Subclause 7A, if an expropriating authority wishes to extend the period of temporary usage beyond 12 months and the owner or the holder of a right whose right in property has been taken does not agree thereto, the expropriating authority may approach the court for an extension of the period. B, the court may, on sufficient cause shown by the expropriating authority, extend the period of temporary usage. Paragraph C, the period of extension may not exceed 18 months from the date the property was taken for temporary use in terms of subsection 1. Subclause 8, if the court refuses to grant an extension as applied for in terms of subsection 7, the expropriating authority must return or vacate the property on the expiry of the period of temporary use or on the date agreed to by the parties or determined by the court. Subclause 9, an expropriating authority may at any time during the temporary use of the property commence with the expropriation of the property and must comply with all relevant provisions of this Act. Subclause 10, if the property in question is damaged as a result of the performance of an act contemplated in subsection 1, the expropriating authority must repair to a reasonable standard or compensate the affected person for that damage after delivery of a written demand by the affected person and without undue delay. Chair, that is clause 20.
Thank you, Advocate Van Breda. Honourable Members, Clause 20, Honourable Graham Murray, Honourable Sewisa.
Thank you, Chairperson. The Democratic Alliance finds that subclauses 9 and 10 are still highly prejudicial and require amendment, and on that basis, we cannot support the clause in its entirety.
Thank you, Honourable Graham Murray, Honourable Sewisa.
Not in support, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Sewisa. Honourable Tring?
The ACDP does not support the clause, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Tring. Honourable Hickman?
Thank you, Chair. The DA finds problems with this clause and based on subsections 9 and 10 and it does not support this. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Hickman. Honourable Zamba?
I feel it's not in support.
Thank you, Honourable Zanda. Honourable Njabo?
I am in support.
Thank you, Honourable Njabo. We'll put then this to a vote. Honourable Members, those that are in support of clause number 20. Those that are in support of clause number 20. Honourable Van Skalvik, Honourable Mashele, Honourable Njabo, Honourable Matebula, Honourable Shabalala, and Tobongana are in support of clause number 20. Those that do not support the clause number 20, Honourable Members, those that do not support the... Okay, thank you. Honourable Grandmara, Honourable Suisa, Honourable Tring, Honourable Hicklin, Honourable Zondo, do not support clause number 20. Clause number 20 will be part of the report going to Parliament. Advocate Van Breda, clause number 21. Yes.
Chapter 8 and clause 21 concerns withdrawal of expropriation. Subclause 1, paragraph A. Notwithstanding anything to the contrary contained in any law, the expropriating authority may withdraw any expropriation from a date mentioned in a notice of withdrawal if the withdrawal of that expropriation is in the public interest or the reason for which the property was expropriated is no longer applicable. B, the notice of withdrawal contemplated in paragraph A must be served on every person on whom the notice of expropriation in question was served. Subclause 2, an expropriation may not be withdrawn, A, after the expiration of 3 months from the date of expropriation, except with the written consent of the expropriated owner and all expropriated holders, or in the absence of a written consent, if a court on application by the expropriating authority authorizes the withdrawal on the ground that it is in the public interest that the expropriation be withdrawn. Paragraph B, if where the expropriated property is land, the property has already been registered in the name of the expropriating authority in consequence of the expropriation, or paragraph C, if the expropriating authority has already paid compensation in connection with such expropriation, unless the agreement in writing of every person to whom the compensation has been paid is obtained. Subclause 3, if an expropriation of property is withdrawn, paragraph A, ownership of the property concern again vests from the date contemplated in subsection 1 in the owner from whom it was expropriated, and any mortgage or other rights discharged or expropriated in connection with or as a consequence of the expropriation are fully revived. Paragraph B, the registrar of deeds or the registrar of any other office at which such expropriated right was registered or recorded must, on receipt of a copy of the notice of withdrawal, cancel any endorsement made in connection with the expropriation in his or her registers and on the title deed in question. And paragraph C, the expropriating authority is liable for all reasonable costs and damages incurred or suffered by a claimant as a result of such withdrawal. Chair, that is clause 21.
Thank you, Advocate Van Breda. Clause number 21, honorable members. Honorable Grandmother.
Thank you, Chairperson. The Democratic Alliance feels that subclause 1A and subclause 3 are problematic, and on that basis we cannot support clause 21. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Grandmother. Honourable Suiza?
Not in support, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Suiza. Honourable Hicklin?
Thank you, Chair. The DA feels that subclause 1A and subclause 3 are problematic, and on that basis we cannot support. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Hicklin. Honourable Tring? Honourable Tring, is the challenge for me? Oh, okay.
No. So I was waiting for you to call my name, but the ACDP does not support clause 21. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Tring. Honourable Zondo?
IFP is not in support, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Zondo. Honourable Njabo?
ANC in support.
Thank you, Honourable Njabo. We'll put this honourable members on the vote. Those that are in support of clause number 21 to be included in the report form to Parliament, Honourable Franz Galvez, Honourable Shabalala, Honourable Mashele, Honourable Njabo, Honourable Matebula, and Tebowana. Those that do not support the inclusion of clause 21, those that do not support. Honourable Suweta, Honourable Graham Mare, Honourable Hicklin, Honourable Tring, and Honourable Zondo. Clause number 21 will be included in the report taken to Parliament. Thank you, Honourable Members. Advocate Van Breda, clause number 22.
Chapter 9 concerns related matters. Clause 22 deals with the service and publication of documents and language used therein. Subclause 1. Whenever a notice in terms of section 7181, 11(2) or 17(3)(a) or a notice of withdrawal in terms of section 21, subsection 1b is required to be served in terms of this act, the original or a certified copy thereof must, paragraph A, be delivered or tendered to the addressee personally at his or her residential address, place of work, place of business, or at such address or place as the expropriating authority and the addressee may in writing agree upon. Paragraph B, be posted by prepaid registered post to the postal address of the addressee. C, be published in the manner contemplated in subsection 2. Subparagraph 1, if the whereabouts of the person concerned are unknown to the expropriating authority and is not readily ascertainable after taking reasonable steps, or in the case of a fide commissaris, is in respect of a property which is subject to a fideicommissum and is not known to the expropriating authority, who all the fideicommissaries are, or will be, or paragraph D, if none of the modes of service set out in paragraphs A to C is practicable under the circumstances, be served in accordance with such directions as the court on application may direct. Subclause 2. Whenever publication of a notice in the Gazette of Section 7.1 or 6.B.2, a notice of expropriation or other document is required by this Act, publication must take place, paragraph A, in English and in any other official language commonly used in the area where the property is situated, once in the Gazette and simultaneously therewith, or not more than 1 week thereafter, once in two widely circulated and accessible newspapers of different languages circulating in the area in which the property is situated. B. If the property is land, by the display of the notice in the languages referred to in paragraph A, on such land in a conspicuous place from not later than the date of publication in the Gazette, contemplated in paragraph A, and C, if the expropriating authority deems it necessary in the circumstances by the advertising in such languages as may be appropriate on television or radio, transmitting to the area where the property is situated in the languages commonly used in that area, the contents of the advertisement to adhere as closely as is practicable to the contents of the notice or document so advertised. Subclause 3, whenever a document must or may be delivered in terms of this Act, it must take place by delivering paragraph A to the owner and holder of an unregistered right in a property known to the expropriating authority at the address appointed in the notice in terms of Section 7.1, the notice of expropriation, the notice in terms of Section 11.2 or other document as the case may be, and paragraph B, to any owner, holder of an unregistered right person who has lodged an objection or submission contemplated in Section 7.2H, expropriated owner and expropriated holder at the address or facsimile number appointed by such person in terms of this Act or in the absence thereof, subparagraph 1, at an address supplied in respect of such person in terms of this Act, subparagraph 2, at the residential or postal address of such person if known to the expropriating authority, or 3, if no address of such person is known to or readily ascertainable by the expropriating authority by publication in the manner contemplated in subsection 2A. Subclause 4, the delivery contemplated in subsection 3 must take place at the address in question either by paragraph A and B, facsimile transmission, provided that a confirmatory copy of the document is sent by ordinary mail or by any other suitable method within 1 day of such transmission, or C, registered post. Subclause 5, all documents must be in English, and if an addressee has prior to a communication expressing the right in the preference for another official language, also in that preferred other official language. Subclause 6, every addressee who has received a written communication from the expropriating authority is entitled to request in writing a translation of that communication into the official language indicated in the request. Chair, that is clause 22.
Thank you, Advocate Van Breder. Honorable members, clause number 22. Honorable Grammar.
Thank you, Chairperson. The Democratic Alliance objects to subclause 3B3, I think it is, now that I don't have it in front of me, on the basis of it being prejudicial, and we further object to the lack of inclusion of email as a form of correspondence. And on that basis, we cannot support this clause. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable
Not in support, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Suwisa. Honourable Higley.
Thank you, Chair. The DA is not in support of this clause, in particularly with regards to subclause 3A and B, Chair, and the inclusion of email in the subclause B. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Higley. Honourable Chair.
The ACDP does not support this particular clause. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Trin. Honourable Zondo. Thank you, Honourable Zondo. Honourable Jabba.
Yes, Chairperson, in support.
Thank you, Honorable Jumbo. Will then, Honorable Members, take this to process of vote. Those that are in support of the inclusion of clause number 22 in the bill that will be taken to Parliament, Honorable Mashele, Honorable Shabalala, Honorable Van Stalveig, Honorable Jobo, Honorable Matebula, and Jobongwana in support. Six. Then those that do not support, Honorable Siwisa, Honorable Primary, Honorable Higlin, Honorable Tring, and Honorable Zondo do not support the inclusion of clause number 22. The clause will be included in the report that will be taken to Parliament. Clause number 23, Advocate Brother. Yeah.
Chair, clause 23 concerns extension of time, subclause 1. An expropriating authority may extend any period which is applicable to persons mentioned in paragraphs A and B in terms of this act on written request and good cause shown. Paragraph A, the relevant owner or holder of a right or other interested or affected person for a further period or periods as may be reasonable in the circumstances. B, by another organ of state or functionary for a period for a further period or periods as may be reasonable in the circumstances, but not more than double the original period. Subclause 2, an expropriating authority may extend any period applicable to itself in terms of this act if, paragraph A, the owner, holder of a right or interested and affected person agrees to a written request by the expropriating authority, or B, there is good cause for the extension. Subclause 3, for the purposes of subsections 1 and 2, good cause may include circumstances where compliance with the provision requires. Paragraph A, searching for and compiling a large number of documents in compliance with the original period would unreasonably interfere with the activities of the organ of state concerned or would impose an unreasonable burden on the persons contemplated in subsection 1A. B, searching for and compiling information or documents from a source not situated in the same town or city as may be reasonable in the circumstances. The persons contemplated in subsections 1A, B, and subsection 2, the completion of which cannot reasonably be completed within the original period. Paragraph C, consultation among divisions of the organ of state or organ or another organ of state which is necessary and desirable for the purposes of this act, but which cannot reasonably be completed within the original period, or paragraph D, more than one of the circumstances contemplated in paragraphs A, B, and C exist, making compliance with the original period not reasonably possible. Subclause 4, if the expropriating authority extends a period A, in terms of subsection 1, it must notify the requester as soon as reasonably possible, but in any event within 20 days of the outcome of the request, and in terms of subsection 2, that's B, it must notify the owner, holder of a right, or interested and affected person as soon as reasonably possible, but in any event within 20 days of making the extension. Sub 5, the notice in terms of subsection 4 must A, state the duration of the extension. B, give adequate reasons for the extension, including the provisions of the Act relied on. And C, if the recipient is a person contemplated in subsection 1A, draw attention to the provisions of section 19.6. Chair, that is clause 23.
Thank you, Advocate Van Breda. Honorable Members, that is clause 23. Honorable Primary, Honorable Tring, Honorable Suisa, Honorable Kiplin, Honorable Shabalal.
Chairperson, thank you. The Democratic Alliance supports this clause in its entirety.
Thank you, Honorable Primary, Honorable Tring.
Thank you, Chair. The ACDP will not support this clause. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Tring, Honorable Suisa.
Not in support, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Suisa, Honorable Kiplin.
Thank you, Chair. The DS supports
the clause
in its entirety. So
thank
do
you,
mine. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Hickley. Honorable Zadda.
In support.
Thank you, Honorable Zondo. I saw the hand of Honorable Shabalala. It has gone down now. Okay, I no longer see that hand. Honorable Njoba?
In support, Chairman.
Thank you. We'll put this honorable members to a voting process. Those members that are in support of the inclusion of clause number 23, Honorable Van Stalwijk, Honorable Hicklin, Honorable Mashale. Honorable Graham Marais, Honorable Shabalala, Honorable Njobo, Honorable Matebula, they all in support of the inclusion of clause number 23. And then those that do not support the inclusion of clause number 23, those that do not support, Honorable Siwisa and Honorable Trink do not support the inclusion of that. Clause number 23 will be included in the report that will be taken to Parliament. Clause number 24.
Chair, clause 24 concerns the expropriation register. Subclause 1, the Director General must ensure that the register of all expropriations that are intended, effected and withdrawn, and of decisions not to proceed with a contemplated expropriation by all expropriating authorities is opened, maintained and accessible to the public. Subclause 2, all expropriating authorities must deliver to the department a copy of any notice of an intended expropriation, expropriation and withdrawal of expropriation, and of any decision not to proceed with an intended expropriation within 20 days of the service or delivery of such notices. Chair, that is clause 24.
Oh. Clause number 24, honorable members. Honorable Graham Marais, honorable Siwisa, honorable Hicklin, honorable Trink.
Thank you, Chairperson. And the Democratic Alliance supports clause 24.
Thank you, Honorable Graham Marais, Honorable Siwisa.
Not in support, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Siwisa, Honorable Hicklin.
Democratic Alliance supports, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Hicklin, Honorable Trink.
The ACDP supports clause 24. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Trink. Honorable Zondo.
IFP in support, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Zondo. Honorable Njobo.
African National Congress support.
Thank you, Honorable Njobo. We'll put this on vote. Honorable members, all those that are in support of the inclusion of clause number 24 in the bill that will be taken to Parliament, Honorable Shabalala, Honorable Hicklin, Honorable Graham Marais, Honorable Van Stalwijk, Honorable Mashele, Honorable Njobo, Honorable Matebula, Honorable Trink, and Honorable Zondo Domongwana in support of the inclusion of clause number 24. Those that do not support the inclusion of clause number 24 in the bill, Honorable Siwisa, the clause number 24 will be included in the report that will be taken to Parliament. Thank you, Honorable Members. Clause number 25.
Chair, clause 25 concerns offences and fines. Subclause 1, an owner or holder of a right commits a breach of this Act if that person fails to, paragraph A, comply with a directive by the expropriating authority in terms of section 72J or B, deliver to the expropriating authority a statement contemplated in section 74B. Subclause 2, a civil court may impose a civil penalty up to a maximum prescribed amount in favor of the National Revenue Fund on a person referred to in subsection 1 upon application by the expropriating authority brought on notice to the affected person. Subclause 3, the rules of the relevant court apply to the application referred to in subsection 2. 4, Subclause 4, a breach referred to in subsection 1 is not a criminal offence.
subclause 5, a person who willfully furnishes false or misleading information in any written instrument which he or she by virtue of this act delivers or causes to be delivered to an expropriating authority is guilty of an offense and liable on conviction to a fine or imprisonment for a period not exceeding 3 years. Chair, that is clause 25.
Thank you, Advocate Van Breda. Honorable members, clause number 25. Honorable Graham Murray.
Thank you, Chairperson. We are concerned that subsection 2 does not speak to the next clause, and as a result, we are not in support of this clause.
Thank you, Honorable Graham Murray. Honorable Hicklin.
Thank you, Chair. And the Democratic Alliance is not in support of Clause 25. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Hicklin. Honourable Tring.
The ACDP does not support Clause 25. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Tring. Honourable Zondo.
IFP not in support.
Thank you, Honourable Zondo. Honourable Suisa.
Not in support, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Suisa. Honourable Njaba.
African National Congress in support.
Thank you, Honourable Njaba. We will take then this, Honourable Members, to a voting process. All the members that are in support of clause number 25. Honourable Shabalala, Honourable Mashele, Honourable Panskalvik, Honourable Njaba, Honourable Matebula, Ntobongwana are in support of the inclusion of clause number 25. Those that do not support clause number 25, Honorable Hicklin, Honorable Suisa, Honorable Graham Murray, Honorable Tring, and Honorable Zondo, they do not support clause number 25. Clause number 25 will be included in the report taken to Parliament. Thank you, Honorable Members. Last time when we were dealing with this, I think we did combine 26 and 27, but because we are voting today, we'll deal with 26 on its own, and then we'll deal with 27 on its own. Honourable members, please bear with me on that one. Advocate and Breda, clause number 26.
Yes, Chair. Clause 26 deals with regulations, subclause 1. The Minister may, by notice in the Gazette, make regulations regarding paragraph A, any matter that may or must be prescribed in terms of this Act for its proper implementation, including administrative and procedural matters, B, any ancillary or incidental administrative or procedural matter that may be necessary for the proper implementation or administration of this Act, and C, any notice or document required in terms of this Act, and paragraph D, any maximum civil penalty as contemplated in section 25.2. Subclause 2A, the Minister must, before making any regulations contemplated in subsection 1, publish the draft regulations for public comment. Paragraph B, the period for submitting comments must be at least 20 days from the date of publication of the draft regulations. Chair, that is clause 26.
Thank you, Advocate Van Breda. Honourable Members, clause number 26, Honourable Suisa, Honourable Graham Murray.
Not in support, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Suisa. Honourable Graham Murray.
Chairperson, the Democratic Alliance has an issue with subsection 1D, and as a result, we cannot support the clause.
Thank you, Honourable Graham Murray. Honourable Hicklin.
Chair, we have an issue with this. The Democratic Alliance will not support it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Hicklin. Honourable Tring.
ACDP not in support of Clause 26. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Tring. Honourable Zondo.
IFP not in support, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Zondo. Honourable Njaba.
African National Congress in support.
Thank you, Honourable Njaba. We'll then put Honourable Members this to a voting process. Those that are in support of clause number 26 of the bill, those that are in support of clause number 26 of the bill. Honourable Shabalala, Honourable Van Skalvik, Honourable Mashele, Honourable Njaba, Honorable Matebula, and I add my vote, Ntobongwana, are all in support of clause number 26. And then those that do not support clause number 26, Honorable Graham Mare, Honorable Siwisa, Honorable Hickling, Honorable Trink, Honorable Zondo, do not support clause number 26. Clause number 26 will be included in the report that will be taken to Parliament. Thank you, Honorable Members. Advocate Van Breda, clause number 27.
Yes, Chair. Clause 27 deals with regulations, legal documents, and steps valid under certain circumstances. Subclause 1, a regulation or notice or an authorization document made or issued in terms of this Act, paragraph A, but which does not comply with any procedural requirement of this Act is nevertheless valid if the non-compliance is not material and does not prejudice any person, and B, may be amended or replaced without following a procedural requirement or of this Act if, subparagraph 1, the purpose is to correct an error, and subparagraph 2, the correction does not change the rights and duties of any person materially. Subclause 2, the failure to take any steps in terms of this Act is as a prerequisite for any decision or action does not invalidate the decision or action if the failure, paragraph A, is not material, B, does not prejudice any person, and C, is not procedurally unfair. Chair, that is clause 27.
Thank you, Advocate Van Breda. Honorable Members, clause number 27. Honorable Graham Mare, Honorable Suiza.
Chairperson, and the Democratic Alliance supports this clause, but we still take issue with the technicality of using and instead of or when we're speaking of rights and duties under subsection 1B2. But aside from that, we do support the clause.
Thank you, Honourable Graham Mare, Honourable Suiza.
Not in support, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Suiza, Honourable Trin.
The ACDP will support, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Trink, Honourable Hicklin.
Chair, as my colleague said, with the obvious technical and or amendment, the DA will support this clause. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Hicklin. Honourable Zondo.
In support, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Zondo. Honourable Jobo.
The African National Congress in support.
Thank you, Honourable Jobo. We will take this for voting process. Honourable Members, those members that are in support of clause number 27, Honourable Mashele, Honourable Graham Mare, Honourable Hicklin, Honourable Van Schalkwyk, Honorable Njobo, Honorable Matebula, and Ntobongwana. They are all in support of clause number 27. Those that do not support this is Honorable Siwisa. Thank you. The clause number 27 will be included in the report that will be taken to Parliament. Honourable Members, we are now in clause number 28. Advocate Van Breda.
Chair, clause 28 deals with interpretation of other laws dealing with expropriation. Subclause 1, subject to section 2, any law dealing with expropriation of property that was in force immediately before the date on which this Act came into operation must be interpreted in a manner consistent with this Act, and for that purpose any reference in any such law to, paragraph A, a functionary authorized to expropriate property must be construed as a reference to an expropriating authority, and B, compensation as provided for in sections 12 and 13 of the Expropriation Act 1975, Act number 63 of 1975, must be construed as a reference to compensation contemplated in the provisions of section 25(3) of the Constitution and the provisions of this Act. And subclause 2, in the event of a conflict between this Act and any other law contemplated in subsection 1 in relation to matters dealt with in this Act, this act prevails. Chair, that is clause 28.
Thank you, Advocate Hanbrada. Clause 28, Honourable Members, Honourable Graham Murray, Honourable Hicklin, Honourable Suwisa.
Thank you, Chairperson. The Democratic Alliance supports this clause.
Thank you, Honourable Graham Murray.
Thank you, Chair. The Democratic Alliance supports this clause.
Thank you, Honourable Hicklin. Honourable Suwisa?
Not in support, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Suwisa. Honourable Tring?
The ACDP will support clause 28. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Tring. Honourable Zondo?
I've been in support, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Zondo. Honourable Jabba?
The African National Congress support.
Thank you, Honourable Mjoba. We'll then put this, Honourable Members, to a process of vote. Those that are in support of clause number 28, Honourable Shabalala, Honourable Hicklin, Honourable Graham Murray, Honourable Franz Galvik, Honourable Trink, Honourable Mjoba, Honourable Matebula, Honourable Zondo, and Tebongwana are in support of clause number 28. Those that do not support clause number 28, Honourable Suwisa, do not support clause number 28. Clause number 28 will be included in the report that will be taken to Parliament. Clause number 29.
Chair, clause 29 deals with the repeal. The Expropriation Act 1975, Act number 63 of 1975 is hereby repealed. Chair, that is clause 29.
Clause 29, Honourable Members. Honourable Trink, is this a new hand or a legacy hand? Clause 29, Honourable Members, it's in fact it's why you are dealing with this bill today. Honourable Murray.
Thank you, Chairperson. The Democratic Alliance sees absolutely no reason why, if this bill is passed in its current form, it cannot repeal the existing act, so we support it.
Thank you, Honourable Murray. Honourable Hicklin.
The Democratic Alliance, if it doesn't support this clause, Chair.
Thank you. So many hands. Honourable Mashele. Honourable Mashele.
Chair, the ANC supports the bill. That's not the end.
Thank you, Honourable Mashele. Honourable Zondo.
IFP is in support.
Honourable Spring.
In support, Chair. Thank you.
Honourable Suwisa.
Not in support, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Suwisa. Honourable Members, will all the political parties have had their say, will put it in this on the voting process. Those that support clause 29, those that support clause 29. It's Honourable Zondo, Honourable Graham Murray, Honourable Hicklin, Honourable Shabalala, Honourable Franz Galvik, Honourable Mashele, Honourable Trink, Honourable Mjobo, Honourable Matebula, Honourable Shabalala, they all in support, including Tebongwana, they all in support of clause 29. Those that do not support clause 29, Honourable Suwisa does not support clause 29. Clause 30, Advocate Van Breda, we're almost there, Honourable Members.
Chair, clause 30 concerns transitional arrangements and savings. Subclause 1, this act does not apply to any expropriation initiated through delivery of a notice of expropriation prior to the date of commencement of this act or to any consequences of any expropriation initiated prior to the date of commencement of this act.
Subclause 2, any proceedings for the determination of compensation in consequence of an expropriation contemplated in subsection 1 must be instituted, or if already instituted, must be concluded as if this act had not been passed, provided that the parties concerned may agree to the application of this act to such expropriation or proceedings, in which case the relevant provisions of this act apply to the extent agreed upon between the parties, as if it were an expropriation or proceedings for the determination of compensation in terms of this act. Chair, that is clause 30.
Thank you, Advocate Van Breda. Honourable members, clause number 30.
The ANC
Honourable members, Honourable Suisa, Honourable Graham Murray, Honourable Hicklin, in that order. Honourable Suisa, Honourable Graham Murray.
Thank you, Chairperson. The Democratic Alliance supports this clause.
Thank you, Honourable Graham Murray, Honourable Hicklin.
Thank you, Chair. The DA is in support of this clause.
Thank you, Honourable Hicklin, Honourable Tring.
The ACDP in support, Chair, thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Tring, Honourable Zondo.
In support, IP in support.
Thank you, Honourable Zondo. Honourable Jabo was the first one to speak in support of this. We will then put it into a voting process. Honourable members, those that support clause number 30, it's Honourable Shabalala, Honourable Graham Murray, Honourable Mashele, Honourable Hicklin, Honourable Franz Kalveig, Honourable Trink, Honourable Zondo, Honourable Jobo, Honourable Matebula, and Tobongwan are in support of clause number 30. And then those that do not support clause number 30, it's Honourable Suisa. This clause will be included in the bill, in the report that will be taken to Parliament. Advocate Van Breda, can you please advise me as the person chairing this committee that is there any need that we vote on the issue of Clause 31? As Clause 31, if you can read, it talks in the law, what will this act be called and when will it come into operation? And the dates that will be determined. I just want to check whether is this a, we, are we also supposed to talk on this one?
Chair, yeah, in my view, I suppose all the clauses would need to be addressed, but considering that this is in terms of Parliament's own rules and processes, I think that Ms. Pumulele is probably better placed to address that question, Chair. I think Pumulele is on the platform.
Indeed, Chairperson. Thank you, Advocate Van Breda. Indeed, Chairperson, we are supposed to accept or have an approval by the members in each and every clause, including Section 31, Chairperson. Including clause 31. And then in respect of that 2020, seeing that we are now in 2022, it's also, once it will be read, it's also a consequential change that will be needing to effect in respect of the year as the bill progresses as to how it goes about. So 2020 there, as it still appears, it's only because it was the year it was introduced, but we can effect the changes seeing that we are now in 2022, and therefore that clause must also be read in and supported with the consequential change. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Pume. Thank you. Thank you so much. Honourable members, I then put upon you clause number 31 with all the explanation that there may be changes, Ms. Pume says, consequential changes that may be affected on that one. Honourable Graham Murray?
Thank you, Chairperson. With respect to the change to the date of the adoption of the bill, the Democratic Alliance supports Clause 231.
Thank you, Honourable Grandmother, Honourable Hickley.
Thank you, Chair. With respect to the change in the date, the Democratic Alliance supports this clause.
Thank you, Honourable Hicklin. Honourable King.
The ACDP in support of Clause 31. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable King. Honourable Suisa.
Not in support, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Suisa. Honourable Jobo.
African National Congress in support.
Thank you, Honourable Jobo. We'll then... Honourable Zondo.
IFP in support, Chair.
Thank you. We'll then now, thank you, Honourable Zondo. We'll then now put this on the vote, Honourable Members. All the members that are in support of a clause number 51 with the consequential changes, the date that we will adopt this. Honourable Shabalala, Honourable Graham Mare, Honourable Hickley, Honourable Mashele, Honourable Franz Kalveig, Honourable Tring, Honourable Zondo, Honourable Matebula, and Honourable Jobo, Tobongwana, they are in support of clause number 31. Honourable, those that do not support clause 31, Honourable Suisa, does not support. So that clause will be part of their report that will be taken to Parliament, and the consequential changes will apply when the time it is for it to apply. Thank you again, Advocate Van Breda and Ms. Pume and all the people that supported you in ensuring that this B list is presented to us. As the members of this portfolio committee, all the explanation, all the work that you have done working with us up to where we are today, we really appreciate. I think we have worked so well with your team. We also include in that appreciation the legal services of the department, because they were also here previously when we wanted some questions to be corrected. Thank you again, Honourable Members, on the way that you have deliberated on this today and on the voting process. It's not the end of the day, Honourable Members, for it, this bill. Next week, on the 14th, as the members of this portfolio committee, we will be adopting a report for the portfolio committee. And then after that, having the committee adopted the report, then the bill will then be forwarded to Parliament. And then we will also have another chance to debate on these issues that we have raised, Honourable Members, that you feel that they're not covered properly, whether you are in support, whether you don't support. And in fact, all the political parties, even those that are not members of this portfolio committee, will be participating when we are deliberating on this bill in Parliament. Thank you, Honourable Members. Thank you even to our team that has been with us from day one, compilation of all the submissions that were received, noting of all the oral presentation and recording, and when we were even in our public hearings, our team was there to support us, to ensure that everything is captured correctly. We really appreciate that. Only one day, Honourable Members, to deal with this in the Portfolio Committee, which is the 14th next week. It has been a long process, but we are here today. Honourable Graham Murray, your hand.
Chairperson, thank you. First of all, thank you very much for your leadership. This has not been easy. It's been a highly contentious piece of legislation, and there have been moments where things have gotten heated, and I'd like to thank you for the way you've handled the entire process and the fairness with which you've dealt with everybody. And then just on a matter of procedure, next week we're adopting the report from this portfolio committee, and I would like to know what the procedure is with respect to having a minority report being included in that report, whether or not we submit our inputs in writing to the secretariat, or how the process works for the inclusion of the minority report from the dissenting parties. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Graham Murray. Mr. Shuaib, can you respond on that one? Looking, of course, at the rules and regulations of the Parliament. Mr. Shuaib, is he still in the meeting?
Yes. Chairperson, if I'm audible?
Yes, you are.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, just to assist with that, we're referring here to Rule 166 that deals with reporting. That's the Rules of the Assembly, 9th edition. And Rule 1664A refers to a committee not being allowed to submit a minority report. However, B of 166.4 assists us with the query of the Honourable Member in that it says that B2, in addition to views representative of the majority of the committee, any other views of a minority may be included in the report of the committee. So what needs to happen, Chair, is you need to provide a time frame within which minority views can be sent to the secretariat so that it can be then be included in the report for the 14th Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Denson, for that explanation,
Chair.
Yes, Ms. Martinez.
Can I also add, and rather procedurally advise that the minority report should not be more bulkier than the actual final reports of the committee, which would be a majority report. So the minority views may be captured in a way that's not going to overpower the information that's been adopted by the majority of the committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Martinez. Honourable members, our team, I think it has assisted us clearly. This is not the first report that we will be taking to Parliament. Honourable members, who have dealt, yes, it is the first bill that we have to be dealing with. We have had the reports that we have adopted and then taken to Parliament. And then in our deliberations in Parliament, we would then raise the views of our political parties when we are deliberating and discussing that particular report. So, Honourable Members, you note it properly. We are going to adopt the report on the 14th. As Mr. Denson has indicated, if there are members that feel that there are views that they should be included, as we all know that on this coming weekend, Friday and Saturday, we'll be having our strategic planning. Would really appreciate that at least by Saturday, that those views they are submitted in a written format. We will be having our team, Mr. Shuaib and Ms. Nola Martinez, when we are dealing with our strategic planning, so that
they will include them in the report that we'll be dealing with on the 14th. I think all that is clear, honorable members. Do we have any other item, Ms. Martinez? Ms. Martinez? Where is our committee secretary now? Do we have any other item, honorable members? No, not honorable members. Ms. Martinez?
Chair, if I may, she's struggling with network issues, Chairperson. But I don't think we have another item. I'm not certain. The only item I recall was the book.
Yes. Okay.
I'm back in, Chair. Sorry about that. My network is horrible. I keep getting kicked out of the meeting. Sorry about that, Chair.
Okay. Honorable members, again, let me appreciate the way that you have handled this bill in our discussions, in our public hearings, in our when we're dealing with oral presentation. Really, you showed leadership, all of you. You showed why your political parties put you as public representative. You represented your political parties so well when we're discussing with this. We will finalize then on the 14th Wednesday, in which our team, Shuaib and Ines, they will present to us our report, and then we will adopt our report. Thank you so much, and thank you again to our legal teams, the Parliamentary Legal Services, the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor. We really appreciate the work that you have done with us, going through with us on this report, advising us where necessary. We appreciate that. And to all those that have been with us from in the public hearings, watching all this process as it unfolded, we are here today almost to its end. We appreciate your support. Thank you, honorable members, again. It has been a marathon today. Let's meet at 3:00 in the plenary. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.
Recording stopped.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, colleagues. Goodbye.